All right, we're back. We are now talking about sexual confidence and sexual authority, or concepts are pretty much mixed there. But authority meaning that you have the air of authority, I guess, if you want to say it, that, say, a police officer has with his, enforcing the law. We have to have our authority as men as masculine authority, that we have the authority to be men, to be masculine, that we. And I hate to use this term because it's actually sounds very new agey, but that we own it. How much do you own your sense of masculinity? How much do you own your sexual confidence? That's what we're going to be covering in here. We're going to start with a little bit of what I call a reality check. We're going to have a couple reality checks in this program. This is really important because I want to make sure that we are keeping things real and that you understand the reality behind sexual confidence, not the theory, not the some of the stuff that people put out there that just doesn't make any sense, or it sounds like it makes sense, but it doesn't get you any success. How do you like that, right? You get those things that you hear and you're like, oh yeah, that sounds good, and you try it and it doesn't work for you. Not beneficial, doesn't help you at all. Knowing psychology and advanced techniques is going to put you in a position of possible manipulation. This is part of your reality check, okay? The reality check that I talked about before, too. You can actually get people to do things that are not in their best interests. And this is not what we're going to do. All right? We're not going to be doing that. Modern day seduction has been portrayed as, I call it a maze of confusing terms, of different options and techniques that you have out there. And it doesn't need to be this complicated. It doesn't need to be anywhere near this complicated. What we're going to do is clue you in, first of all, on how to be sexually confident. This is the section of the program. We're going to clue you in on how to be sexually confident forever. All right? This is not just a temporary fix. This is a long-term fix. I want to show you how a woman's sexual mind works. This is some deep, intimate psychology stuff that you're going to be getting here, stuff I have not talked about before, and stuff that is really, really powerful. So again, take notes. Get your notepad out, get your journal out, open up a text document, but make sure you're taking some active notes too. Yes, you have this already printed out. You're going to get my words. If you can, it'd be great if you could print it out and highlight it. That's what I do with almost all of my books. We're also going to be laying out the exact path to sexual escalation and success. So I'm going to tell you step by step where you should be and what you should be looking for as signals, obvious indicators that you're making progress with a woman, okay, and how to go from one to the next. Now, there's a lot of peripheral skills here. I can't cover them all, but I'm going to be telling you exactly how to do this. I'm going to show you how to communicate in a sexual way with women and forever avoiding the friend zone. This is important, right? We want to stay out of that friend zone. There's a reason you get there, and I'm going to talk about that in here too. I'm going to give you a complete arsenal of sexual techniques and performance tools in the bedroom. That's coming up later in the program when we get into sexual performance. Okay? I'm going to give you expert backup from some of the top gurus in this field. And that's how we're going to do what we're going to do to get you sexually confident. All right? So it all ties together. All of these elements are connected. I recently took a class, and I'll talk about this more in a bit. It's called Lifebook. And what we do is we set us in this class, basically you set aside, or you actually figure out the different areas of your life you need to focus on. Your physical life, your exercise, your health, your emotional life, your intellectual life, your spiritual life, your career, your finances, your love relationship, all this stuff. And it's basically 12 areas, and I actually have the book right here on my desk. I'll talk more about that later. But in there, the premise is that all these different areas of your life are actually connected. Your physical health and the way you feel in the morning when you wake up is going to directly contribute to how productive you feel at work. It's going to directly contribute to your ability to interact with your family. If you have kids, you want to be able to play with your kids. Your intellectual life is going to tie in directly with your success at work, because are you learning new things? Are you growing intellectually? Are you going to make yourself more valuable at work or with your business? Your social life, that's connected to everything too. These are all connected things. Now, don't worry about the connections, because we can focus on each one of these and you'll feel the trickle-over effect into the other areas. That's why it's really important to go through every one of these sections that I'm talking about and boost them. Each one is a little booster shot to your overall sexual success with women. So there's your reality check. Biological programming. Let's talk about biological programming. We have a woman's sexual prime and a man's sexual prime. We're going to talk about these individually. A woman's sexual prime. First of all, what are the indications that a woman is in her sexual prime? These are things that are physiological that you don't have control over. I want to be really specific about this. A lot of guys think that you can control attraction. They still believe this, even in the age where we know that attraction is not a choice, right? It is not a choice in most areas. And the reality is that you can influence it, but you can't always make the choice. Well, guess what? There's a lot of it that's been pre-programmed, and that's the biological programming that you come with and that women come with. So when a man looks at a woman, here's what he's looking for. Full breasts, round buttocks, clear eyes, wider hips. These are some of the immediate indicators. There's a lot more of these. The luster or the sheen of her hair, whether it looks dull or whether it looks healthy, right? Because we're looking for signals that a man can look at right away and say, I'm totally down with that. I would sleep with her because if she had my kids, they would be healthy kids and she'd be able to nurture them and I'd have a second generation of me, basically. My genes would carry on to the next generation. Now, it seems very scientific, but it's not. It's actually the reality of what goes on at a very primal level in our brains, and it kind of trickles up to our conscious thinking. Puberty for a woman is between the ages of 10 to 14 years old. Okay, now, this is really hard for a lot of guys to recognize because they're so used to things like the laws that we have today that say that you can't have sex after, before a certain age and all that. But the reality is that back in the age of, well, let's give an example here if you're into this one, is that when we talk about like Jesus and Mary, that whole concept there, and again, I'm not a religious person, I'm just using this as an example. Back in Jesus's time, I read where it was very likely that when Mary gave birth to Jesus, she was 12 years old. She was 12 years old because that's about when they would have had children, as soon as they could back then. They didn't have the same laws that we do. Okay, whether that's right or wrong, we ain't going there. What I'm saying is that puberty happens between the ages of 10 to 14 years old, and everywhere else in the animal kingdom, as soon as an animal is capable of having children, they tend to start having children. Okay, so women have a distinct fertility window. It's from their age of puberty, 10 to 14 years old, to about 40 years or so. Okay, a woman can have, we've seen now that much more women are having children in their 40s, but there's a very distinct window that they can have children in. And after she goes through menopause, somewhere up around the age of 50, where she's no longer capable of even having children, she's done. She's not having any more kids. But you, as a man, you can keep popping those kids out anywhere you like with any other woman that's capable of having kids. All right, so again, I'm trying to minimize the amount of physiological stuff, but this is really important that you recognize what it is that's going on in a man that makes him think that attraction is an event for him. The event is this. He sees any of these indicators, plus a whole lot more, that a woman is physiologically healthy and capable of bearing children. He doesn't care what's going on in her brain. He doesn't honestly give two hoots whether or not she's a smart, rocket scientist. He just doesn't. And, we've all probably run into that situation where we chose a girl that not so intellectually challenging, if you know what I mean, but easy on the eyes. So that's a woman's sexual prime. I'm going to leave that open as we open up and talk about a man's sexual prime. Puberty is between the age of 9 and 15 in boys. It's a little bit of a wider window, but it's around the same time. However, we have no end to our fertility window. We can have kids all the way until you die. You can be popping out kids. There's some old guys out there doing that. We have a decreasing sex drive that happens later in our 30s because at that point in your life, you're not as aggressive. You should have established yourself by then, and your priorities basically shift. Okay? So a man's sexual prime is entirely different than a woman's sexual prime. What is a woman looking for in a man? You notice that I didn't list the indicators for a man here. And the reason why is because it's all psychological stuff. Sure, if you're good looking, that won't hurt you, but it definitely will not guarantee anything. In fact, she's looking for a good looking image. Not that your features and your face and that you're attractive necessarily. It's that you are putting it all together in the right position, right? Like if you're an average-looking guy, but you have a good haircut, you're cleanly manicured, you're wearing stylish clothes that fit you well, that's 10 times more important than the overall whether or not you're good-looking or not. You can totally trump guys on that. Trust me. So that's the biological programming aspect. There's sexual status, okay? let's talk about this, because this is really important. Sexual status is what you are jockeying for in this world. Whether you realize it or not, you are in a battle for your own sexual status, where you fit on the pecking order, the hierarchy, all right? Low social status is actually a predictor of higher stress, less social and sexual success, and shorter lifespans. Think about that. This comes from direct scientific findings, by the way. Low social status predicts that you will have higher stress, you'll have less social and sexual success, and a shorter lifespan. Wow. It's a pretty wide-reaching effect if you think about it, right? The National Geographic special that I mentioned before, it's called Stress, and you should watch it because it's really, really revealing about the parts of sexual success that you didn't know about. Basically, that if you don't have sexual success, it's an indicator of a lot of other things going wrong. So you really got to focus on this. There are also many dark or negative traits that are sexually thrilling to women. This is the part of the dark side or the bad boy that I teach about. It actually goes off a little further from bad boy into the jerk realm, right? Selfishness and cockiness. Selfishness is self-centered behavior. You'll have more women deferring to you. That's the reality of it, is that your self-centered behavior, if you're a selfish person, is going to have more women deferring to you to make the choices. What does that communicate? That communicates dominance, right, in a lot of ways. But this isn't an unhealthy end of the spectrum. It translates into strong self-belief. Selfishness equals strong self-belief. That's why it's attractive to a woman, because she's going to see you as being somebody who knows where he's going, knows what he's doing, he's got a plan, he's going to help her survive. That's what she's looking for, that confidence, right? And again, selfishness is about furthering your genetic legacy. Cockiness, we talk about this, right? Cocky and funny, the whole cocky behavior. Well, here's a warning. Women will swear that they hate cocky guys. What's the reality? No, they don't hate them. They always say they hate cocky guys because cocky in their mind is one of those words that doesn't translate well, not in the chick mind anyways. Cocky to them means something different than cocky to you. Let's face it, cockiness and slight arrogance is always more attractive to women than passivity and demureness and feminine behavior. I hope I don't need to repeat that one. That one's really, really important that you get. The unfortunate thing is that a slight amount of arrogance and cockiness is always going to get you more sexual success than being more effeminate, more passive, and more laid back. You may not want to hear that because you don't identify with those traits of being more assertive, even arrogant. We don't want to. We think of that as being a dick. But there are ways of bringing it out because, again, as I told you before, and I will say again, this programming is already in your brain. It's already there. It's just something we're bringing out that you already have. High social status equals basically a license to fuck the most beautiful and desired women. It's kind of coarse and vulgar, but that's exactly what it is. Higher social status in this world is a license to fuck the most beautiful and desired women on the planet. The men who have the highest social status get these women. Look at somebody like, and I'm going back a few years here, Kid Rock. Kid Rock. Now, I actually like his music. I've always liked him. I thought he's more intelligent in a lot of ways than you might get from his music. But let's face it, the guy is definitely not appealing to the eye, right? But women love him. Look who he goes out with. Look at the women he bangs. Let's be real here. There's a reason for that. And it's the fact that there's a difference here between being powerful and being powerless. There's powerful and there's powerless. We are shooting for the powerful side of the equation here. So high social status is something we have to factor into sexual attraction. Your social status, whether real or not, you can engineer this, by the way. You can engineer social status is a critical indicator as to how sexually successful you will be with women. Again, observe animals. I don't like to come back to this because we don't want to think of ourselves as being animals, but we are. We are still triggered based on animal patterns. So when you watch those nature specials, you're getting a very keen insight into, unfortunately, a reality that we don't acknowledge for human beings. You simply must communicate high social status. This is what I'm getting to in this particular situation, or in this particular section. You have to communicate high status, whether it's sexual status and or social status. You have to be communicating that with your body, with your mind, with your body language, with your words, with your actions. And I'm going to talk more about that and how you do that. Here are status indicators. These are, again, the things that women are looking for. Basically, anything that indicates your superiority over another male to give a woman security and to provide for her and her offspring. These are the two critical factors, okay? This is the provider side of the equation. The status indicators that a woman are looking for, that a woman is looking for, is anything that indicates your superiority over another male, whether it's one that she's seeing as a possibility or what, doesn't matter. You have to present her with the example that she's going to look at it and think, he's going to make me secure, and he's going to be able to provide for me and any babies that I might have. Here are some of those indicators. Money. I know we talk about this left and right. You don't need money to attract women, but guess what? It sure as hell doesn't hurt. That's why I talk about how to make money, and I actually offer opportunities to some of my VIP members to be able to earn money ethically, morally, responsibly through business ventures and opportunities that they can actually use to get more money into their lives, because you owe it to yourself to make money, to increase your wealth and affluence for your own happiness first, and then for the happiness of everybody around you. That earning potential. You don't even have to be making the money right now. You can actually just be potentially earning that money in the future. Pretty crazy, huh? But that's true. That's very true, is that a woman will actually, they've done studies on this, by the way, where they've lined up pictures. On one side is a picture of a guy in a Burger King outfit, and on the other side is a guy with pretty much identically the same kind of looks. Okay, so there's really no distinct difference in terms of their level of appearance or attractable appearance in looks. But one's wearing a Burger King, and one's wearing a doctor's outfit or a doctor's smock. And guess who gets the nod for being more attractive? The guy that looks like he's going to have the more of an earning potential, right? But they've also done studies that aren't even based on appearance that way, okay? Because she could be interpreting that as being, he must be making that money right now. They've actually done other studies of guys that are starving artists with a real talent, and women have attached to them because they saw the potential this guy had. Or another guy that's just in school to go to be a lawyer or something like that. They see the potential there. Again, we're touching on some dark aspects of feminine nature here, and you got to be ready for these because it's going to get a little darker before it gets lighter. Resources. Do you have resources to provide for her, to give her security? Do you have a house? Do you have a car? Do you have health insurance? These are forms of security that she's going to look at, okay? Size and physical strength. Yes, big, burly guys, to a degree. Again, not to extremes. A guy that looks physically strong and he's physically bigger than a woman, taller in some cases, is going to be more attractive to a woman for the fact that she's going to feel more safe around him. But again, we can hijack that particular response in her mind. Formal status of a person. In other words, your leadership role. Are you a leader of something? This is why there's this high propensity of workplace romance, is the woman that is working for a guy tends to look at him as being a leadership role or somebody that has power and authority. Back to authority again, right? So those are some status indicators that you need to seriously think about. I know they kind of fly in the face of all the stuff that we tell you about. You don't need money to attract women. You don't need to be rich. You don't need to blah, 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 blah. You don't, but you owe it to yourself and your own lifestyle and your own success to be working towards those things, because that will automatically create sexual status and sexual attraction with women. Do searches on social status studies online. That's your to-do for this particular section. I want you to go online, and I want you to look up some of the social status studies that they've made for validation of what I'm talking about here, because you really do need to read some of these reports, because it's really amazing. You can look them up through Google, obviously. Do a search. Look for studies done on the influence of social status and attraction with women. There's a ton of them out there. Be horribly over-the-top, politically incorrect for fun with women. This is going to seem kind of funny, but what this implies to women, and let me collapse that for a second. Being horribly over-the-top, politically incorrect for fun, I've done this before, okay, where I will say some pretty shocking things in a conversation with women. I'm giving this example because it's one of the ones I've used a lot, is, you know what, I totally dig Nazis. And they look at you like, what are you talking about? And I say, those uniforms. They had the coolest uniforms in World War II. Come on. You know all those pictures where they show those parades in Berlin and they had all those cool, eagle staffs that they had. They looked cool. Come on. Admit it. I don't agree with Nazism. I'm not going to be a skinhead or anything, and I'm definitely not going to persecute anybody, but the baddest ass costumes on the planet. Okay, that's what I mean by being a little horribly over the top politically incorrect. I've done it in a lot worse ways than that too, and you can get some ideas of this from some popular comedians out there. Doug Stanhope is one that I can think of, for example. The implication when you're like this is that it gives women the idea of your social independence. When I can say something like that, it means I'm not afraid to stand apart from the rest of the pack, and I can kind of step above them a little bit and say, I'm not worried about whether or not you guys accept me or not. I've got my own opinions, and it's cool because I already got it going on. It's implied in your words. That's a little technique that I've used to kind of communicate social status to women that works like a charm. A little side note there for you. You can also elevate your social status through many of the non-traditional alpha male behaviors. Now, what do I mean by this? A lot of guys really still believe that being an alpha man means that you have to be the big grunt of a guy that can push other people around, that can, you know, make basically be the hairy knuckled caveman that grabs a woman by the hair and drags him back to the cave. Not necessary at all. As a matter of fact, it's counterintuitive and counterproductive to what a real alpha man is. These days, these are the more non-traditional, what you think of as alpha male, but they are more important for attracting women. Intelligence, including social intelligence, which is actually social savvy, okay, and just regular intelligence is important. Social savvy, social intelligence, the ability to manage social situations and handle people in those situations. Subtle wisdom, okay, your wisdom, what you've learned and picked up on and what you have figured out about life. Figuring out life is also an attractive thing for women because so many women are walking around feeling like the world is a crazy, hectic zone of madness for them. You, having figured it out, will come across as being an alpha just by virtue of the fact that you've got this thing figured out. But what I'm saying here is that you can elevate your social status by having some of these non-traditional alpha male behaviors that don't even relate to money. But if you're a really intelligent guy, your intelligence and your social savvy are telling her he's gonna make money eventually. He's gonna be high potential for success, this guy. That elevates your social status right there. And using personas, when it comes to sexual status, personas give you a license to extend your personality beyond the bland. It's one of those things I like telling my guys that I coach. What I'm saying here is that you can adopt personalities. You can create personalities in your head, and these will help you communicate higher sexual status. They give you basically the ability to expand your personality. Every person out there feels like they're kind of dull and boring. If they had to write a book about their life, they know, they're like, oh, that would never sell. It'd be so dull, right? Some guys know, but you know what I mean. The reality is that you can be as interesting as you choose to be. Personas, adding on these little ideas of people that you can add into your personality for fun. I'm not talking about multiple personality disorder here. I'm talking about for fun. Personas for humor. And these play on our dark desires in a lot of ways. What do I mean by this? Well, we all have... Let me step back. Personas are these little characters in your head that you can create for whatever situation you might be in, right? You have a persona when you go, like I tell you, when you go to church, you have a different persona than when you go to a strip club. I guarantee you that. I don't care what any guy says, he has a different persona for those two different situations. You can create a persona for just about everything. You got your Joker persona. You've got your total goofball persona. Then you got personas that aren't even related to really who you are. Like I have the ones I do for the telemarketers that call. I've talked about this in the past, to just mess with people. And believe me, important to do. Fucking with people is also a big indicator of social status. And basically using these personas is essential for you. Playing on our dark desires, okay? I'll give you some technique-y stuff here because I want you to understand what sexual status is and how you actually execute it. We all have them. We all have dark desires, right? And knowing this about a woman is very powerful. By the way, denying that you have dark desires is actually being less genuine and authentic. So by bringing out these little dark things that a woman might be thinking about, this is what comedians do all the time, by the way. They actually just are bringing out the thoughts that we don't normally talk about. I was watching this comedian the other night. I think his name is Jim Gallagher or something like that. And he had this clever little thing he did. as part of his routine, you know, he'd be talking about his jokes, and then he'd imitate this. He was imitating a possible member of the audience that's offended at what he said. So he'd make a joke, and then he'd go, "Oh, I don't know if I like that. This comedian's a bit weird." And, you know, he was using that little voice on the side to pretend he was one of the audience. So he got to play two roles. That was his little persona. And that little persona got to say whatever it was thinking. Like, "Oh, I don't know if I like that. This guy seems a little strange." You know, and then he could put jokes on that person. It was really clever, if you think about it. Well, here's a way of doing this. Take something altruistic and twist it, dement it. Like saving the whales. I'll give you an example here. And this all does work. It does all fit back into the big topic of sexual status. Saving the whales. Think about this. I would joke with women that, you know what? You got to save the whales. You know why? Because you want to be able to play this iceberg polo. I hear that's such a big deal. That's right. I ride on the back of a whale. You ride on the back of a whale. And we just knock icebergs back and forth. Okay? Another one is Habitat for Humanity. I like joking about this because it's one of the charities that I contribute to regularly. Yeah, I want to work for Habitat for Humanity. I want to build one of those houses so I can steal some of those tools. Think about it, man. I could totally get away with like one of those circular saws. Yeah. How about reading to the blind? Very altruistic. You can say, you know what? I have this thing I like to do every, you know, third month of the year. I go and I read to the blind. It's really great because it gives me an opportunity to steal their jewelry. That one, sometimes I just can't say with a straight face like now, but these are ways that you can play these little personas, and at the same time, they have had these thoughts too. We all have dark thoughts, stealing a blind person's jewelry. No, we wouldn't really do it, but there's a part of your in the head would be like, what if I was invisible? I could steal jewelry then too, couldn't I? These are little dark thoughts, and they make people laugh, and they play on those dark desires, and at the same time, they connect with women on this persona level, all right? It's a sexual status indicator to be able to do this. I'm kind of stealing ahead from what we're going to be talking about in the sexual communication aspect, but I think it's important to give you examples here so you don't left with, Carlos said there wasn't going to be that much theory. This sounds like theory to me. Yes. The key here is don't go scary dark. Don't be too dark with these personas that you create and have fun with. Don't talk about rape. Don't go into gross or gory topics, and nothing frightening or threatening to security. You know, so don't create a persona that's a psycho killer, or don't be imitating Hannibal Lecter. You know, God, that's so funny because I know a guy that would do that on his days. Dude, I'd always imitate, you know, like Hannibal Lecter in that famous scene where he's like, "I eat his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti." And I'm like, dude, you are scaring the shit out of women that you're doing that to. And he didn't realize it. Use personas that are obviously not scary dark, but fun. That's sexual status, all right? We're going to come into that and connect with that in a lot of different topics coming up front. Emotion versus logic. Very important when we're talking about confidence, sexual confidence, and sexual authority is emotion versus logic. This is important. Just like attraction, let me zoom in here a little bit. Just like attraction not being a choice, sexual desire is not a choice, right? Sexual desire for somebody is the next level of attraction. Attraction is kind of like the door that says, hey, you're digging this person, and we all know what's on the other side of that door, right? A bedroom. That's really what we're talking about here. So attraction is not a choice, but sexual desire is also not a choice when you get this down and you understand how it works. Somebody cannot be attracted to you and not want to have sex with you on some level, a woman, right? Deep reactions here. Internally, you have emotional versus logical reactions. I'm going to talk about some of these and how it works. You have deep emotional reactions when you walk up and talk to a woman or when you see a woman that you want to meet, all right? You think of things like, is she taken? That's one of those gut things that hits you right here. It's like, boom, is she taken? Is she an open and flirty kind of girl? Is there another guy around here that might be protecting her? How do I initiate and minimize the rejection or the possibility of being rejected and minimize my social embarrassment as well as any chance of confrontation with another guy? These are all thoughts that are running around your head. These are emotional killer thoughts that are stopping you from acting, all right? Really important to understand. Those are deep reactions that you can't necessarily control. Just like attraction not being a choice, these deep reactions come up with you in you all the time. uncontrollable, and they can be distracting and paralyzing at the same time. You have to learn how to diffuse this bomb, because it's going to stop you from getting real attraction with a woman, from breaking down those barriers with her, because you're going to have those deep reactions. They're going to hold you back. It's going to slam down this plexiglass wall between you and her. Sure, she can still see you, but now your voice is muffled. Now things can't be communicated because there's some kind of a barrier between you two. You have to diffuse this bomb, or it's going to go off whenever you're around a woman that you want or desire. You've got to diffuse it. Now, just as there are uncontrollable deep reactions that you have, women also experience the same sort of thing, and they're based on different criteria, okay? Emotion versus logic here. They're just as uncontrollable for her, and these criteria are, these are things that she reacts to and she decides whether or not she's going to be attracted to you or not. First of all, are you sexually confident? She's picking up on that right away. Immediately, she's looking for signals that you're sexually confident. Second is, do you know how to play the sexual flirting game? Do you understand how flirting works with men and women? Do you really get it, or are you just kind of playing at it awkwardly? Are you a physical or sexual threat? This is another one of those little gut things she feels right away. Are you a physical or sexual threat to her? Recognize this. All men are a sexual threat to a woman, meaning that there is always the threat. You got to understand a woman's perspective and point of view. Women have a constant underlying cautiousness about men based on the fact that no matter where she is or what she's doing, there's always a possibility, it sounds horrible, that she could be raped, that somebody could physically force themselves on her and she wouldn't be able to do anything about it. Women live their lives like this. Not that they live it in total fear, but there is a little decision switch flipped in their head every time they're making a decision based on their comfort level with you and whether or not they feel that you're a physical or sexual threat to her. Sexual threats do exist in a woman's world. In a man's world, not so much. Well, not unless you're in jail and there's guys, you know, looking at you really, really coy in the shower. You get the idea, right? Imagine that. You're in it's a total legitimate example. You're in the shower in a prison and there's guys looking at you and they're kind of eyeing you up and down and you know what could come next. That's what women experience on a certain level, is that possibility of sexual threat. Now, do you understand the sexual roadmap? That's what she's thinking. Does this guy even get what the sexual roadmap is, what the different points are, which is what I'm going to be talking about in this program, so don't worry about that one. So recognize there are criteria the woman is looking at to determine whether or not her emotional mind or her intellectual mind is engaged in the attraction that's going on. Intelligence works against sexual attractiveness. You got to recognize that smart guys have it harder than other guys. I was one of those smart guys. I overthought this thing, and as a result, I killed attraction with women. Being overly intelligent or thinking with your IQ in these situations disconnects you from a grounded sexual desire. Thinking in itself is cut off from your actual true sexual desire. Those are two different parts of your brain. And then we start slipping into rational thinking and how it ought to be with attraction. This is why smart guys have a problem with this. They think about the way it should be, maybe they read a lot of books about it, and yeah, you know what? If women want equality, well then they should be able to open up doors for themselves, right? That's one of those logical things, but we know it isn't true. On a certain level, a woman will always appreciate and feel more protected and taken care of by a man who does those chivalrous gestures. Feminism has nothing to do with it. Remember this one thing from this section. Emotional reality always trumps logical reality. Emotional reality trumps logical reality. Whatever a person is thinking of logically is not going to be able to shut down or negate a person's emotional feelings about it, which is why you can't rationalize with women to get where you want to go. You have to learn how to engage them on an emotional level. And that's really what this section is all about. We're going to be talking about all the elements of this, but actually, the next section on sexual psychology will actually talk about how to really dig into that emotional mindset of a woman and how to use it to your, I don't want to say to your advantage because again that sounds manipulative, to both your advantage, to get where both of you want to go. So there you go, emotion versus logic. Next up, we're going to be talking about sexual endgame trap. This is a big trap and it's one you got to know about. So when you're ready, move on to the next section and I'll see you there. All right, we're back and we're talking about the sexual end game trap. What is the sexual end game trap? Well, here's the dilemma. We know what we want, right? As men, we know we want sex. Even women want sex, although there's a different psychology behind that, and we'll cover that later. Now, if you are insecure about your ability, or you don't know what to do when it comes to having sex with a woman, you're going to fear getting to that place where you're uncertain. And what's going to happen is you're going to self-sabotage to avoid facing that situation. I'll give you an example of this. Back when I was a kid, I played a lot of baseball. Problem is, I really sucked at baseball, and I knew it. I was a terrible hitter. I just couldn't hit that damn ball. And every time we played with neighborhood kids and whatnot, I felt that sinking dread come up in my system. And what would I do? I would do whatever I could to get out of having to go up to bat. I would switch with other kids. I would pretend I hurt my ankle. And on a conscious level, I knew I was doing this, right? Now, think about this as applied to other things in your life, and you'll realize that subconscious level, your fear of the unknown part of a situation, right, at the end, what happens when you finally do get her into the bedroom, it's going to ruin your confidence, reverse engineering it all the way back to the front. You can't even walk up and talk to women because somewhere in your head there's that little part of you that goes, oh my God, something's going to happen. I'm going to fail when I get to the bedroom. Because ultimately, that's what it's about, is that the fear of the unknown becomes a fear of the failure. Think about it this way. If you knew you could satisfy any woman out there, what would that do for your confidence level? What do you think? I think it would massively jack it through the roof. Therefore, if you know that you can sexually please a woman, you become more attractive to her. You immediately take on a confidence and an aura with her. Okay? Think about it that way. So therefore, you remove that fear and your confidence will be totally unleashed and let loose. All right? So think about that. That's your sexual end game trap. It's something to really consider, that you are probably going to be in a state of a double bind until you get rid of any either faulty beliefs, or you compensate by learning what's in this program. That's what this program is really all about. If you want to push a button to it and say, okay, what is it I'm getting out of this thing? What you're getting is the confidence that you know what to do when the time comes. If you have the skills, you're not going to have those chains, the emergency brake, the shackles, whatever you want to call them. That extra weight that you're carrying around will be off of you, and you'll be able to move forward at warp speed, basically. See, I knew I could work Star Trek into this somehow. So there you go. That's the sexual endgame trap, and I really want you to be aware of it, because it is the most critical thing that you have to overcome in order to get sexual success with a woman and to be able to communicate sexually. You can't feel this constant self-consciousness. All right, so now we are on sexually insecure. This is something that it relates to the endgame trap. It relates to the psychology. Most guys are ashamed, or shamed in a lot of ways, ashamed meaning that you were shamed, about your sexual desire. You're ashamed about it, which means that you're probably uncomfortable talking about sex in many cases, okay? Even if you think you can talk about it, there's still some places you probably won't go for fear of either maybe not having experienced it, or not really understanding it, or even just having kind of squeamish feelings about bringing that topic up in public. There's a feeling like you need to keep it hidden. It's a fear of discovery. This is what a lot of guys go through, is they have this fear of discovery, that they're going to be discovered or found out that they actually want sex with a woman, and that this is somehow a bad thing, right? Well, keep in mind that feeling this way, feeling like you need to keep your sexuality hidden, is going to ultimately, it's going to create more of the sexual endgame trap, because you're going to be ashamed, right? But ultimately, you're going to be held back because you have this nervousness around any kind of sexual energy. Any kind of sexual energy that you experience is going to create this feeling, you know, like, oh, I don't know if I can go forward with this. I don't know if I can go through with it. And this kind of insecurity is extremely obvious to women. Women pick this one out right off the bat. Okay, so the sexually insecure way about you is going to be communicated through a bunch of different things. Body language, obviously, tone of voice, your energy going forward in a conversation. You're not going to be able to just roll with the conversation. You're always going to feel like there's little, like those, I was thinking about those cartoons when I watched as a kid. You know how they used to have robbers? They'd have the black mask on and the striped outfit. You know, if every robber wore that, they'd be pretty easy to pick up, wouldn't they? But, you know, those guys are lurking around the corner waiting for you. That's what's lurking in wait. And you feel that in your conversation, and it holds you back. So this kind of insecurity has to be dropped. Sexual insecurity is one of those things that women sense. And it's a bigger topic, or a bigger ball, if you will, of the overall what's holding you back. But that's pretty much it. Being insecure sexually stops you from feeling good about going forward with a woman. That's your confidence blocker right there. Keep that in the back of your mind. Sexual insecurity is what you need to eliminate. And it comes from this feeling like you need to keep it hidden, like you can't express your sexuality as a man. We've been shamed as a gender on the whole. Men have been made to feel like our sexual interest in women is unhealthy. It's impure. It's, you know, you're a dog if you want to do that to women. You want to have sex with more than one woman? What's wrong with you? You're bad. Okay, I'm being somewhat facetious here, but not so far, not as far as you might like anyways. All right, so that's sexual insecurity. Sexual confidence, let's talk about sexual confidence here. First of all, why men don't have sexual confidence? Why not? Well, first of all, most guys have been put, and this goes back to the insecurity, right? We're kind of flowing forward here. The sexual confidence, the reason the guys don't have it is because of this overt feminist backlash that we've experienced in the last 30 years. There's been shaming. There's a lot of shaming. This is an individual thing. This is kind of a culture thing. This is an individual thing. We've been shamed by our families or by religion or by other little external factors that make us feel that sex is bad. The United States has a very unique situation on this, by the way, which is we have this very, oddly enough, liberated society, you know, free to do anything, but we also have a very distinct subculture or sub-influence, if you will, of Puritanic influence in there, Puritanical. Because keep in mind, that's who came over and settled the United States. We've still inherited a lot of their beliefs, a lot of their insecurities about sex. So this Puritanical belief system about sex and about sexuality haunts us to this day. Single family upbringing, like if you have a single mother that happened to raise you, that's going to create a certain kind of a stigma or a certain way about sex, especially the way women bring up boys. It's not intentional, it's not meant to hurt you, but it's just a different way because women have a different communication system about how sexuality works with them. It's a lot of covert and underneath the covers type stuff. Poor male role models. Again, we're getting kind of cliche in some ways, but it's true. There are a lot of poor male role models out there that we've had to experience. A fear of revealing or releasing your masculine power is what is at the heart of that. And you've got to find these good male role models. I try and be mentors to a lot of the boys that I know, that I work with through my dojo, or that I've worked with in the past. Because it's important to me that these kids get a very clear understanding of what confident, no-holds-barred male sexuality is about. Okay? Very, very important. We have a culture of threat and fear that we live in. Think about it. The United States right now, and this is, you know, becoming true more around the world because of the threats that we've encountered, is that we live in a culture of threat and fear. The world is no more dangerous than it ever was. It really isn't. You look at the numbers and the true statistics about the actual danger that you're in, and it's extremely low. Things just don't happen to you. But the media and the news make us more aware of it. You now know about every bad thing in the world that happens instantly. It's Twittered to you in a moment, right? You know, you find out all these things, and we never used to be this way. It used to take days, or we'd have to filter through a bunch of media outlets before it could finally get to the morning or the afternoon or evening news. Now we know about it instantly. The internet has brought us fully in contact with all the worst parts of the world. Everything from sexual predators, you know, which there are no more of those than there ever were. I was watching a real funny comedian, Doug Stanhope, and he was talking about this topic too. The fact is that the internet and internet predators, you know what? It's a good thing. It keeps those predators online instead of hanging around the children's playground wearing a bathrobe with, you know, Smarties that they're using as lures to try and get kids. Think about this for a second. This gives them a place to hide and stay out of the general population. He was trying to be funny about that, and it's true in a lot of ways. The world is no more dangerous than it ever was, but we live in a culture where we are made to feel as though everything is out to get us. There's constant threat, constant fear. So sexual confidence is necessary for alpha masculinity and to get sexual success. So when we're talking about sexual confidence and this thing I call alpha masculinity, it boils down to charm and charisma with women. Charm and charisma with women. Very essential kind of way of looking at that. Okay, so that's sexual confidence. Okay, clear picture. Clear picture. This is really important. This kind of distills the essence of what this sexual authority or confidence that we have to have with women is really about in a lot of ways, this clear picture. You must have a clear sense of deservedness and capability. These are the two essential ingredients to your sexual confidence. Is that you feel like you deserve the sex that you want and that you're capable of delivering on it when it comes time for you to perform. Those two things are pretty much it. You deserve it. It's okay. You know, I mean, all that's kind of rolled up in the deservedness that, you know, you don't have those beliefs or limitations holding you back. You deserve and it's okay to have sex. And then on the other side of that coin, that you have the ability to deliver when it comes time to give a woman an orgasm, to pleasure her, to make her feel what she needs to feel in order to give you more sex. Okay, because it's not over the first time you have sex with a woman, I hate to tell you this, but that's where things just get started. Stop pretending that you don't want sex from women. Okay, be very aware and cognizant of this. Be aware of what's going on in your own head. I will keep coming back to this self-deluding aspect of human beings because I think it's very important that guys understand this nature that we have, is that we tend to deny certain realities that are going on around us all the time because we want to maintain a certain appearance, a certain kind of acceptable appearance that we think other people will accept. The reality is almost always different than that. So be willing to look at things with very clear lenses on, no smudges on the lenses or filters of your reality. I call this clarity, ultimate clarity. It's something I seek every day in my life, and that's clarity in everything that I do. I don't want anything distorted. I don't want anything that people tell me, you know, kind of couched in a certain amount of protection to make sure that my feelings aren't hurt. Forget that stuff. I'm way beyond that. I need to know the truth. And if you kind of water things down, you could go years without knowing what the truth is. I'll give you a very clear example of it, and it's a very personal example for me, is that when my mother became sick with cancer, she actually kind of held back on the amount of information I had. She didn't let me know just how serious it was. And I'll be honest with you, I actually changed it in my mind to be, oh, it's not that serious. She should be fine. And I didn't know this was really going on until my cousin let me know, you know what? You're not seeing what's going on here. She's sick. You need to be working. You need to be figuring out what's going on with her. You need to be talking to her doctors. I'm like, wow, you're right. I was denying the reality because, of course, who wants their mother to be sick, right? And yeah, it was a very eye-opening experience, a very personal experience to me to kind of be like, whoa, I am totally making shit up that I need to get out of my head and I need to get back to reality. I need to see things clearly. And I did, and I stepped in, and I did what was necessary at the time. So again, this comes back to, please stop pretending that you do not want sex from women. You do. Every single heterosexual male wants sex from women. And to deny that in any way or to rationalize it away that you don't, or you want to be connected, you want to, I'm sorry if this is going to offend some of you, you want to wait until you're married? No, you don't. You want sex right now. Men are built this way. Physiologically and psychologically, we are built to want sex right now, right this second. It's okay. It's the way it was naturally meant to be. It doesn't mean that you can't exercise some self-control over it, but do not under any circumstances pretend that you don't want sex from women. You also have to believe that she wants it as badly as you do. And she does. Women want sex just as much as men do. they just have a much more, their sense, or their desire rather, is actually disconnected from their physical arousal state. So a lot of guys believe that women don't want sex as much just because women are able to cut off sex at any moment. She could be this close to having an orgasm and she can just cut things off, jump out of bed, and leave. It's that easy. For a guy, no way, man. We're going all the way to the end, right? It's not the same with women. It doesn't work that way. So we don't understand that reality, and therefore we fall victim to those beliefs. Women do want sex. They experience much more sexual pleasure than men do. Don't be ambiguous or wimpy about this goal. None of this, I'm going to let her decide how long it takes for us to get to the bedroom. All right, and I'm being very, very careful about how I say this because I don't want this to imply that I'm saying that you should force a woman to have sex with you. Never, 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 never. That's never what I'm saying here, and I'll put that right up front, and I'll say it several times throughout the program. But on the other side of that is, don't have this mistaken belief that you're going to let the woman decide the pace of how fast things move forward. You have to be the trendsetter. You have to be the one taking the leadership role in moving this thing forward to the bedroom aggressively. Okay, assertively and aggressively in some ways. By aggressively, I don't mean forcing physically. I mean aggressively in terms of the agenda or the moving forward part of it. Not that you're ignoring all the signs around you, not that you have this one single-minded focus, but you do have a deliberate path to get there. A lot of guys are very ambiguous or being wimpy about wanting to have sex with women. They're like, oh, okay, if you don't want to, we can just cuddle. Don't accept that. Women, that's a test right there. The whole cuddle all night long thing, big mistake. I've written about this in a lot of my newsletters because I think every guy has fallen victim to that one. It's a clever ruse that some women use, and it's also a test. Women want sex as much as men. I've said this before. Women get more experience with sexually charged situations than most men do. Women have more experience being in a situation where guys want them. There's talk of sex. Sexuality comes into the conversation. Most guys don't have the experience that they do. Women are approached all the time. Think about this. Women are approached all the time. Are you? Probably not. Now, I want you to imagine this experience for a minute here. You walk down the street. Every day, some guy is trying to hit on you or trying to get into your pants. Okay, this is an ongoing, everyday kind of experience for a lot of women. It's nearly constant that they're constantly being put in front of a situation where a man wants sex from them. All the time. You don't have that experience. Women do. They get used to it. You don't. So dealing with that energy and dealing with those sexually charged situations is really important. Wanting sex is not pervy, not perverse, not perverted, not weird. Unless you try to hide it or you're ashamed of it, then it becomes perverted by virtue of the fact that you're now being sneaky. You're now being shameful. You're now trying to keep it under the covers and hidden from everybody. Keep that in mind too. So the desire for sex is never weird or pervy until you make it that way with the ways that you handle it. And being sexy is not pervy or weird. Okay? Again, unless you act like sex is all you're looking for. Sexuality can enter conversations naturally and easily, and it should. But if you act like sex is the only thing you want, then it's going to, again, get a little bit pervy and weird because it's too single-minded. It's almost ignoring the reality, and it's like, yeah, but what about sex? All right? So keep this very clear picture. Maintain the clarity. Keep the clarity about you. See things for what they are, and you will almost never be misled. Women. Oh boy, women. What a topic here. Got a lot to cover on this one. First of all, let's talk about what a woman's insecurities are. So we're going to get into a little bit of sexual psychology here. I'm going to go into much more detail in that section, but we're going to start touching on the essence of women in terms of your sexual confidence. First of all, think about a woman's experience. These are her insecurities. She's thinking other women are more attractive than her. This is stuff that's floating around in her head. She is dealing with the possibility of rejection by high-status men and women. High-status women exist in her life too, and she's constantly aware that she could be ostracized, if you will, by their rejection. She's aware that she's getting older every day, and with every day, she's becoming less attractive and desirable. Maybe not literally, but that's what's going on in her head. Again, irrational. And the clock is ticking. she's going to be unable to bear children at some day in the future. She does have a hard deadline she has to meet. That's always in the back of her mind. Winning the man that she wants is also floating around in her head. She wants to be able to win the man she wants. She's been brought up on Disney Desires since she was 2 years old, watching those movies of Prince Charming and the guy that's supposed to come along and sweep her off her feet. So she's also aware that a man that comes along that's too easy is also suspicious to her. It's a suspicious situation to have a guy that's too easy for her to get. That's where a lot of guys fail, especially nice guys. We make it too easy for women, and then they're like, whoa, wait a minute, something's weird here. It weirds them out, and that leads to flaking, and that leads to them actually disappearing in a lot of ways. Not being able to have kids when they're otherwise fine physically, they have that fear in the back of their head that maybe they can't bear children. Even if they meet their timeline, maybe their bodies just don't do it. It's kind of rare that that happens, but again, it's a fear that women actually have. They also have a fear that other women are getting the attention that they should have. Attention is currency in a woman's world. Attention is currency. Okay, and this is going to lead them to all sorts of behaviors, and one of which is the what I call attention whoring. And attention is really important to women. It's very, very important. It tells her that she's desirable. It tells her that she's part of the social network and fabric because connections are so important to her. So other women she's worried that other women are going to get the attention that she deserves. She's going to be thinking about, and her insecurities are going to be around, she can't keep a connection with a man or the attraction going. She can't keep a man attracted to her. This is a fear that she has in the back of her head. She can't keep the attraction going or the connection going. She's going to fear that she can't attract a high-status alpha man like you. Okay? The reality is she's worried that she's going to have to settle for somebody that she may not desire either in her quest to procreate, to have kids. She's going to fear that she can't fit in with social groups of status that she wants to, that she can't be a part of those important people, the ones that give attention, the ones that get attention, that have power. She's drawn to that power because, again, it implies that she'll be taken care of, that she'll be safe and socially secure. That's her form of social security. Do you see how important all these little things are? And they're probably not that important to you. You have your own set of insecurities running around in you. This is a woman's set of insecurities, which some of them you just can't even relate to. But if you understand them, you will be miles ahead of any other guy out there. The halo effect. You may have heard this. This comes from science. It's the fact that we tend to attribute a certain angelic or good quality to people who are good looking. We tend to believe that they're less evil, that they are less altruistic, or they're more altruistic than we are. We just give all these attributes to people who are attractive by virtue of their appearance. Now, we put these women on a pedestal, right? We put attractive women on a pedestal. We give them false credit for purity and innocence. A lot of women, we believe, are this pure, angelic, snow white creature, when in fact, they're just as capable of evil as we are. There's too much judgment based on appearances. This is why we, again, put women on a pedestal, as we give far too much judgment based on what we see. Women don't want this. Women do not want to be thought of as angelic or thought of as pure or whatever you want to call it, based on their appearance alone. They want to be known for who they are, not based on what you see, which is the ultimate dilemma of women who apparently are very, very focused on what you see of them, right? Makeup, clothing, their body style. It's a dilemma they have to deal with. This can be dangerous and very limiting to you if you continue to put women on a pedestal. So I'm going to tell you right now, you need to stop this habit. Now you need to start breaking it down. You need to stop giving women credit just for looking good. Doesn't take anything to look good. Okay, the worst cars on the planet look great, but run like crap, and they break down all the time. All right, there's nothing to be attributed to appearances. You have to look deeper into the qualities. So be aware of those times where you give an attractive woman too much credit, or glorify her without a very substantial reason why you're doing it. This goes into the essence of what I've been teaching guys for years. You cannot do that. Women in today's world are often thought of as being better than men. This is part of that feminist thing that I've talked about. Women today are thought of as actually being better When I say better, I mean higher in quality, nicer, having better qualities in a lot of ways than men do. It's something that sneaks in a very low level. It's not said overtly, but it is in the message. Remember that women and men both have good and evil in them. And this is just one of those common sense things that we forget. We just demonstrate it in different ways. Even though women are not typically the perpetrators of violent crime, they have a lot of other sideways and different ways that they let this stuff out, okay? So there's no monopoly, if you will, on good and evil behavior. Men and women are just the same. Now, understand another reality instead of rejecting it because of egocentricity. This is one of those things where you're going to be like, what? What does that mean? Because I had to read it a couple times. Understand another person's reality rather than rejecting their reality because you're stuck in your own reality, is basically what I'm saying. Egocentricity is the inability to see anything else because you're so attached to you. You know, whether that's through insecurity or whatever it may be, your ego situation is going to stop you from seeing other things in life. Study women's erotica. One of the best ways you can learn about women is to look at what they want and what they read. Women's erotica is incredibly powerful, incredibly popular with women, yet most guys have no clue what it is or what it says. There's things that come out in women's erotica that tell you about their sexual desires. Things like wanting to be submitted. In other words, a woman wants a certain submissiveness or forced into a submissive role. Now, again, I have to add this clause. This does not mean that you can dominate or physically force a woman to do something, but they have fantasies that relate to their subconscious desires. Submission is one of them. They want to be turned on by elements that do not deal with appearance. The covers that you see of women's romances are bullshit. They're total bullshit. They always show the hunky Fabio guy holding a woman in a, they call them the bodice rippers, right? Because her boobs are like popping out of this thing. Those covers are all the same and they're ridiculous, but at the same time, they're also BS. The content inside those books, though, will tell you the true desires. There's a function of rising and falling tension in all of women's erotica, meaning that things get tense, 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 and then there's a break in the tension, then it comes tense, 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 and there's a cycle. And that's what builds up the sexual attraction between the characters in these books. And you need to watch that and map that and understand it to do the same thing with women. Women's erotica is very experience-oriented, meaning that the woman's experience does not end or culminate in orgasm. Men are focused on the orgasm because that's where things kind of, if you will, come to a head and everything, it meets and fulfills our biological desire and ultimatum, which is to procreate the species. So we got to come. Women don't need to. So for her, it's an experience. The journey is more important than getting to the orgasm for women. This is one of those things you'll find when you're in bed with a woman that will throw off the vibe. If you get too focused on giving her an orgasm and she's just not needing it, or it's not what she needs at that moment, maybe she needs that connection, you're going to be out of sync and you're going to really jeopardize your ability to have sex with her again. Now, as opposed to male sexual patterns, which, again, talking about this, men are orgasm focused. We focus on novelty and visual elements. Men are focused on what is new, what we haven't seen before. That's why pictures of, you know, naked women that we've had for years and years don't do it quite as much for us as new pictures of naked women that we got. And again, the need in porn for novelty, something new. And the visual elements, what we can see is what's sexually attractive to us. And it's often based in power, the male power dynamic. The man having power is something that feeds our fantasy. So don't fight against a woman's sexual reality. Don't argue with reality. It'll just bite you on the ass. It's one of my sayings that I like to bring up a lot because it's true. Reality is reality, whether you like it or not. You can't change reality just because your reality is distorted. A woman's sexual reality is very clear-cut, and if you understand it, you'll have much more success with them. Women have a dull sex life because, let me back up here because I want to make sure this is clear. Women have a dull sex life because most men suck at sex. It's a fact. Most men are incompetent in the bedroom and are incapable of really pleasuring a woman, really giving her what she really wants. I'd say probably way over 80%, probably closer to 90% of guys are really inadequate. So if you understand this, you'll also understand that a woman lives most of her sexual life through fantasy and masturbation. Sounds a bit harsh, a bit extreme, but it's true in a lot of ways. We all do in many ways, because we'll never get the ideal sexual experience or sexual situation that we want. More so, unfortunately, for women. She lives her life through this life of her sexual life basically through fantasy and masturbation, because she knows what appeals to her. She knows that what she wants, but on the other hand, she also believes on a certain fundamental level she's never going to get it. But keep this in mind. If you understand what I'm teaching you here and you start to put this stuff to use, you're going to open the door for her and you will literally awaken the tiger. That's what I call it, awakening the tiger. What happens is, well, of course, it's a high-quality problem, right? It's the kind of problem you think you want to have. Hey, this woman's a nymphomaniac. She's all over me all the time. But it's going to totally freak you out. It will totally freak out the first couple of times, because you're not going to be ready for a woman's true sexual desire. Most guys don't think that women have a sexual desire, that they're only doing this to appease them in some ways. Simply not true. And it will freak you out to a certain degree. Right now, you're going to be like, yeah, sure, Carlos, I'll be ready for it. But trust me, you really don't understand it. Women's sexual appetites exceed men's. Very often, in a lot of relationships I know, the woman wants more sex than the guy, just based on this one fact alone. If you know how to open this door for her and bridge the gap between her fantasies and reality, you're going to create a whole new sexual life for her that she'll be completely, completely involved in. You see, women live not knowing what is actually sexually possible for them. Most women just don't ever fully realize their sexual potential. Think about it this way. Probably, let's just say 99.99% of guys can reach orgasm, but this is not the case for women. In fact, there's actually a distinct percentage of women that never do orgasm, and they don't ever that's a perfect example of not realizing what is sexually possible for them, what kind of a sexual experience they can possibly have. The man that shows her this is going to be her personal god. That's the best way I can explain it. When you open that door, when you awaken the tiger, you're going to become her personal god on a certain level. The cool thing about this is it totally creates a dedication, a loyalty, and I don't even know how to explain it, but it's a kind of security you'll have in your relationship that you can't get any other way. You've basically locked her down the best way possible. You don't have to worry about cheating. You don't have to worry about anything else if you keep a woman happy and satisfied. And this is one of the ways you need to do it. If you don't keep a woman sexually satisfied, she will stray. She will cheat on you. It's inevitable. It will happen. Don't let any other woman tell you that, oh no, we're still faithful. Even if things aren't going well, we'll still be faithful. No. The second a woman is not appeased, she will look elsewhere. And they're just a lot better at it than we are in terms of keeping it a secret, but it's very true. So recognize that. Again, women have this dull sex life because most guys aren't very good at it, but you're putting an end to that by learning what I'm teaching you in this program. All right, welcome back. We are now going to cover masculinity, the flip side of the coin of femininity, which was women. What is this whole element of masculinity when it relates to alpha power and sexual confidence? Well, first of all, one of the big reasons that we need this kind of program is because of the problem with masculinity in the world today. And I say in the world, but I mean, there's some very key, very primary countries that this is really affecting, and it's the United States, the UK. There are some other European nations that are feeling this too. And it's a kind of a sway away from, I hate to say traditional because it sounds very old-fashioned and stodgy, but very traditional gender role models. Now, in some cases this is good because it's allowing women to get access to things that they want to do more, but at the same time it's also very inhibiting to men because men are having a difficult time adjusting to the new environment and getting some of the mixed messages that they're getting. So it's a mixed bag, for sure. I hate to say that it's all bad, but there is a distinct part of it that is not very good for men. So we have to understand that one of the biggest reasons we need a program like this, teaching guys how to be more successful sexually, is because there are very few male role models doing it, and our society in general is not prohibiting it, but inhibiting it. So think about this for a second. What are a man's insecurities? We talked about a woman's insecurities earlier. What are a man's insecurities? Well, think about it this way. Here are some of the ones that come up for guys. Rejection by high-status men and women. that one's the same for men and for women. Women have the exact same insecurity as a rejection by high-status men and women. And most guys don't think of it this way, but high-status men influence them very, very strongly. Other men dominating him, lowering him in the pecking order. This is an insecurity of all guys. I had it. I had this big time because I'm a fairly light-framed guy. I'm kind of thin. I'm athletic now, and I've got power and strength now, but I didn't when I was younger. I was a little weakling. And sure enough, guys take advantage of that. That's the way we're built. It's part of our social structure. And anytime somebody throws something rational about the way it ought to be in my face, I tell them to go watch a playground and watch kids interact and watch how the basic instincts take over sometimes. If you've ever read the book, The Lord of the Flies, you know what I'm talking about. So other men will try to dominate you. It happens throughout your life. Other men will want to jockey for power and try and supersede you. It's the way of life. You have an insecurity, we all do, of losing our woman to another man. It's one of the worst things we can imagine because we're programmed as men to want to protect our paternity. In other words, if we have a woman that we have had a child with, there's no way we want to give up that child, first of all, because that's our progeny, our genetic legacy, if you will. But at the same time, by knowing that a woman is having sex with another man, it puts our own paternity, our own fatherhood in question. Is that really my kid? Maybe she was messing around with some other guy. There is a study that's been done that says that up to 10%, and that may be a little bit high. I think it's a little less. I think it may be around the 5% mark, but up to 10% of all kids that are born are not the father's who thinks that they're his. Pretty scary stuff. This is another insecurity. He can't create attraction with a woman. The inability to create attraction with a woman is a very distinct insecurity for a lot of guys. You may think it's something unique to you, but the unfortunate thing about our pain is it always seems unique. It's not. Many, many guys, matter of fact, probably at least 8 out of 10, don't have a good ability to create attraction, but there's only a small percentage of those that will actually admit it. He has an insecurity that his woman's going to cheat on him. Again, this goes back to losing his man to another woman. It's the paternity assurance issue. Is this really going to be his kid? You know, he's got to know this because, well, first of all, a woman knows who her baby is. It comes right out of her. For a guy, though, we don't know who actually fathered that baby. It's hard to be sure. It's a difficult subject there because, you know, the topic of cheating, as much as women say they hate it, they don't like the emotional cheating. Sexual cheating is actually more acceptable for women than the emotional cheating that happens. He's going to have an insecurity that he can't please a woman sexually. This is another one of those things that we're going to take care of in this program. You're going to know exactly what to do to please a woman sexually every single time, even if you've never done it before. Turning a woman off. This is one of our insecurities, is actually flipping the switch the other way, taking a woman who may be otherwise interested in us and getting her feeling turned off. Another insecurity is being unable to provide enough, that we will not be able to give enough security either to the woman or to our family as a whole. Again, it's built into us. That's what women look to us for, and that's what women want to provide back. We also have an insecurity of one-sided feelings. In other words, that our feelings are the only feelings that are going on and that she doesn't feel the same way back to us. So we got to know that because that's going to, again, lead into can we be sure that she's not going to cheat on us, that she's ours and ours alone. So beware emotional manipulation. What do I mean by emotional manipulation? Well, emotional manipulation is the fact that you are going to be manipulated and you're going to be coerced by your emotions as a man. As a man specifically, but as a person in general, guilt, anger, and poor boundaries will be working against you. What do I mean by these? Well, guilt, we know what guilt is. That's when you're being made to feel like you're a bad person or you've done something that's vile in violation of accepted rules. You feel guilty, you feel bad, and of course what comes after that is shame. And we know that shame is one of the most powerful inhibitors for men and our masculinity. You're going to be manipulated and controlled by your own feelings of guilt and your own feelings of anger. Okay, your inability to control your anger will make you appear sexually less attractive to women. Having anger is the first step. You need to have that kind of force and energy within you, that potential. Again, a woman has to see that there's the potential for bite behind the bark, right? Not that you would ever actually physically hurt her. Again, I have to reiterate this. That's not it. But that you have this potential, because most guys don't have it. They don't have the ability to get in touch with that anger, and as a result, they seem weak, wimpy, wussy. Use any number of words here you want to fill in the blank with, but it's all coming down to the same thing. It's an inability to get attached to their own strength, which as a man is very often our anger and our ability to channel that energy. Poor boundaries. This is an important one. Poor boundaries simply means that if your girlfriend feels unhappy, do you feel unhappy? If you do, that's a bad boundary. Okay, and there's some schools of thought that would say that, you know, if they're sad, you need to feel sad because that puts you in touch and empathetic with them. You're compassionate with them. And there is something to be said about that. But you can be compassionate and empathic about another person's situation without having to experience the same emotions they are. Because when you experience those emotions because they're experiencing it, that's a poor boundary. You now no longer have a boundary between you and her. And that, I'm going to tell you right now, is a dangerous thing in relationships and with any kind of interaction with women. Very, very dangerous. It's one of the most prevalent forms of dysfunction that I've seen in relationships and with guys and their girlfriends, is this inability to separate yourself from the other person. You feel bad, so I feel bad. No. You need to feel strong and okay on your own, especially if whatever's making that person feel bad has nothing to do with you. Okay? You do your best to help that person, but you let them get through their emotions on their own. It's not up to you to be the savior. Okay? That's what happens. You just start to fall down the savior path. So you will be manipulated and coerced by your emotions, and I'm going to warn you that it will come along as well with women who are going to try and manipulate you with those. It's a fact of life. It's okay. Guys do the same thing to women. It's not like this is a sexist thing. I'm just saying. Men will be manipulated by women and their superior knowledge of how emotions work. They don't do it intentionally, but it happens by virtue of how they behave. Beware of the myth of her type, okay? There's a belief out there that a woman is only attracted to one template of a man, okay? That's her type. Oh, he's not my type. He's not my type. No. Not true. The fact is that women are attracted to a template of behavior, not appearance. Let me say that again. Women are attracted to a template of behavior, not appearance. Even though there are some genetic elements to it, okay, here are some of the genetic elements that women are attracted to, that they look for in physical appearance. But again, all these can be overcome. I just want you to be aware of what they are, because you can actually do things to enhance and change the perception of these. A strong square jaw. For you guys that may not have one, you can always do the beard, the goatee thing. Okay, that helps quite a bit. Being taller than her helps quite a bit. I'm sorry, it's just a reality of life. Does that mean if you're a short guy, you're never going to get any pussy? No, that does not mean that at all. In fact, if you were looking for that to be your ticket to give up, which is what a lot of guys do. They're looking for the excuse to give up on this and be all down on themselves. Go ahead, find it, because you're going to find it. But if you're going to let that stop you, please, don't even bother. You look at some of the other folks out there. I mean, look at, this is probably a dated example, but Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. Tom Cruise is a 5'7" shorty. Hate to tell you, but he is. He's short. And there's a lot of actors like that. I mean, look at Dustin Hoffman. I think he's like 5'4". The guy is incredibly short. And if you look at him in relationship to other actors, it's just unbelievable. Height can be compensated for easily, and not by a Napoleon complex either. It makes her feel secure. Whatever genetic elements that make her feel secure are the ones she's going to look for. Okay, and you can do a lot to make her feel secure by attitude. So that's why we can overcome these. Prominent cheekbones. Okay, that's another one. Believe me, again, not a big deal. If you don't have prominent cheekbones, you can just use good old-fashioned facial hair. You can do the goatee thing, okay? Symmetry in your appearance, okay? I've been told that I'm an okay-looking guy, but the fact of the matter is that one of my ears is lower than the other one. I know this because when I shave and I try and get my sideburns set correctly, it doesn't work out. I look at my face, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm crooked, okay? It's real. It's very real for a lot of people. There's a lot of actors and actresses that actually have crooked eyes if you look at them. It's very interesting to see these things. But symmetry is one of those attraction factors. Scent, you can easily manage that one on your own, okay? We all have a unique scent, but we can also add things to it to change our scent. Taste, believe it or not, is another element of genetic element of attraction. When you kiss a woman and you do the French kiss thing and your tongues interact with each other, you're actually tasting each other's genetic diagram or blueprint. Believe it or not, that's what's happening. There are certain chemicals in certain people's saliva and certain chemicals in others. And you can actually be turned off by a person after the kiss because that person is not genetically very compatible with you. It comes down to the immune system. I hate to get all scientific on you, but it is actually pretty cool if you understand what's going on at the bottom level of this. A lot of it you cannot control, and you might be thinking, oh my God, I mean, we made out for a couple hours and now she doesn't even want to return my call. What's up with that? Might be a genetic incompatibility there. Sounds crazy, but it's true. A broad chest, easily overcome. I actually have a genetic, I guess it's called congenital defect, if you will. It's not really a defect, but I have a slightly flatter chest. So I basically work out harder on my chest and I compensate for it. Not hard. Posture, your straightness of posture. If you're slumped, you're looked at as being somewhat less desirable genetically. If you have a straight back, you are more attractive. Tan skin is another one of those things. Again, something easily overcome. So let me tell you this. The bottom line about this whole discussion about her type and everything is that types that she may think she's attracted to go out the window when you trigger behavioral sexual attraction triggers. Let me say that again. If she thinks she has a type and you're not it, that's going to go right out the window when you are able to trigger behavioral sexual attraction triggers. It never fails. So beware that myth of being her type or not her type. It's not true. Okay, so alpha risk. What is alpha risk? Risk is a very big factor. I want to tell you this. You are risking in life right now, whether you want to or not. You have no choice. You're risking right now. By not taking certain actions, you're actually risking. By not investing your money in long-term investment vehicles, you are risking not having money at the end of your life or near the end of your retirement years. Okay, it's almost guaranteeing it, as a matter of fact. So it's a risk that you're making almost come true positively. So when you recognize that, when you recognize that risk is inherent in life, whether you want it or not, because the second you walk out the front of your door, hell, you don't even have to do that. An asteroid can hit you in your house a jet plane could crash in your house. Probably a little more likely, huh? But any one of those things could happen. And those are risks, okay? And those risks are there whether you want them or not. You can't hide from risk. It's already there. But not risking is actually the riskiest course of action. I want this to be one of those mantras that you repeat to yourself every single day. Not risking is actually the riskiest course of action. The reason being that if you don't risk, you condemn yourself to not being able to keep up with change. You condemn yourself to not being able to keep up with change. Think about the dinosaurs. The reason that they went extinct was not just because of that asteroid. The asteroid changed the Earth's climate and changed the Earth's weather systems, and the dinosaurs could not adapt to it. They were too fixed, too rigid, they weren't evolving, and as a result, it wiped them out. And guess who took over? Mammals, right? So risking with life is absolutely necessary. You cannot avoid it. The more intelligent risk that you accept, the better off you're going to be, though. Okay, so not to say that you go out and recklessly throw your money on the craps table. You are not just blatantly risking for the sake of risk. You are intelligently risking, and this is going to make you better off in the long run. Now, there's logical risk versus emotional risk. Now, risk, and the reason I'm bringing up risk is it is a factor in attraction with women. They can sense whether or not you're Mr. Comfortable, safe guy, or you're Mr. Risky. Well, maybe not Mr. Risky, but willing to take a risk. Because I'm a very low-risk kind of guy, I'll tell you that right now, and I've found ways to get out of that comfort zone. Logical risk versus emotional risk. Most risk is really emotional risk, and there are no real consequences for it. I want you to think about this. The things that you perceive as being risky, like walking up and talking to a woman, has absolutely no risk to it whatsoever. If a woman turns you down, you do not change one bit. The cells in your body are exactly the same. She doesn't take a knife and slash a big R on your chest that labels you as rejected. Nothing happens except up here. That's called emotional risk. And that's the risk that you have to learn how to manage and basically take out of the picture. Because that's what men do. Men are not ruled or controlled by their emotional risk. Okay, so most risk is emotional risk and there are no consequences for it. The same thing with sexual risk that we're going to be talking about. Certain kinds, anyways. Have a plan. Always, always, always have a plan. The plan that you have will keep you safe when you're in an emotional, risky situation. Plans are the antidote to risk. You can take risks if you have a backup plan. If you walk up and talk to a woman and it doesn't work out for whatever reason, what's your backup plan? For me and for every guy that I try and train, it's to go try and meet another woman, because immediately it puts you back in the mindset of being able to talk to another woman and increase the probability that you're going to meet somebody who will respond positively to you. If you respond to risk and the possibility and the actuality of rejection, if a woman rejects you, and you react to that by not approaching women, guess what? You are getting weeded out of the gene pool, my friend. You're going to take somebody else's leftovers, the cast-asides, the least desirable of the women out there. And I know it sounds terrible to judge people like that, but let's face it. There are women that you want and women that you don't want. And I don't want you to be stuck with one or saddled with a woman you don't want. You never need to settle. Never, ever settle. So remember the plan. The plan will keep you safe whenever you're in an emotional or any kind of risky situation. All right, so risk with life is absolutely necessary. All in. We are all in this program. I want to really emphasize that. That's another one of those mottos. You got to have it in the back of your head. Whenever you're in that situation where you're like, do I do it or not? Push the chips to the center of the table, like in poker, and you go all in. This is a commitment to your path. I expect you right now, if you haven't already done so, I want you to go all in on what I'm teaching you in this program. Push your chips to the center of the table. Gamble it all, because guess what? That's the way to win. That's the way to guarantee you're going to win. Most people play with a scared money, right? You know what scared money is? That's when they're hesitant. They just want to put like one little chip in, and you know they've got a good hand, but they're going to put in just a few dollars because they're scared of losing too much more, because other people, they might have a better hand. Look, in the game of life, it's almost impossible to go bankrupt if you know what you're doing. That's why you go all in. Don't take foolhardy risks that could risk or jeopardize people in your life, but there are very real risks that you need to be taking that you're probably not right now. So get committed to this path. Go all in on your alpha sexuality and your alpha sexual power. True sexual confidence. We're getting down to the nuts and bolts here, the nitty-gritty. True sexual confidence, where does it come from? Well, it comes from, number one, knowing how to really give a woman sexual pleasure. Do you know how to do that? Maybe you do. Maybe you think you do. Maybe you have some skills. Maybe you're not too sure. Maybe you are absolutely positive you don't. Whatever the reason, knowing how to really give a woman sexual pleasure really gives you true sexual confidence. You'll learn this here. That's what you're going to learn in this program, the real ability of how to give a woman sexual pleasure. Confidence in that ability to give that experience to a woman, and this is going to be your choice, right? Having the confidence in your ability that to give that experience to another woman, to be able to give her that kind of sexual pleasure, that is rock solid confidence. Not just sexual confidence, it's a confidence around everybody. You're going to be more confident around men because you're going to be like, dude, you so totally aren't getting laid, are you? Look, let me tell you. And that's actually, I mean, there's times when that's a fun place to come from, is knowing that some other chode that you're talking about doesn't know squat about what he's talking about. And you can call him on it because you're coming from a place of experience. Knowing the full sexual roadmap from eye contact to sex, again, you're going to learn that here. That's within in this program. Knowing how to build sexual tension with women with push, pull, and seduction techniques also gives you true sexual confidence. And being the leader of a woman's experience. This is being able to take a woman from wherever she is or wherever you find her and lead her into emotional states that you desire and you choose for her. Very powerful to be able to do that for a woman. This is not the same thing as having a poor emotional boundary. This is you taking her places she's never been in her own experience in her life. Now, how is it destroyed? True sexual confidence is destroyed by manipulating or tricking women. Should be pretty obvious. Most men genuinely believe that it's an adversarial game out there of see how far you can trick her, see how much and how far you can trick her into giving you in terms of sex. They really believe that's the way sex works. How far can I trick myself in? How much did I get off of her? That was big when I was a teenager, by the way. What'd you get off of her? Like you're stealing stuff from her, right? It's always this game. It's always a game of supply and demand. But if you see it as an adversarial game where the women are the enemy, it's not going to work out for you, buddy. Magical or hypnotic techniques is another reason, another thing the guys try that kills true sexual confidence. These magical or hypnotical techniques, magic words, whatever, this includes basically any system that feels sneaky, using those special hypnotic words that are supposed to get a woman all wet for you. Do you really think that those work? Maybe in conjunction with true seduction techniques, but on their own, it's a truly horrible way to try and entice a woman into feeling pleasure for you, or interest in you, or attraction for you. If you have to resort to tricks, how do you think that makes you feel? Not good, my friend. These systems do not work. And even if you could get them to work, again, how would you feel about yourself if you're able to do that using those hypnosis techniques or sneaky techniques or any of those manipulation techniques to get women attracted to you? How would you feel about yourself? You feel pretty dirty, pretty scummy. A lot of these guys that I've met that I will not mention here that do this sort of thing just have no feeling of integrity. You just know deep in your heart that would be somebody that you would avoid having as a friend. And that's not what I want to, that's not the kind of person I want to take my advice from. Being the alpha man is success through honorable methods. Now, a lot of guys are going to equate that with, oh, I've got to be Mr., you know, hoity-toity, Mr. Proper Prim and everything like that, and I've got to be distinguished and gentlemanly, and yeah, there's an element of that, but no, it's not about being Mr. Overly Chivalrous and laying down your coat in the mud so the woman can walk across. Okay, there's a certain healthy boundary here. Being the alpha man incorporates a lot of different things, but it definitely does not include being manipulative or leaving yourself feeling scummy. That's why guys are attracted to what I teach. The need for speed. Okay, this is one of those things that destroys true sexual confidence as well. Is this need for speed that guys have to get to sex as fast as humanly possible with women? That's our game, right? We're going to see how fast she gives it up or puts out for us. Now, studies of delayed gratification as a trait in men shows more success for guys that can wait. Okay, it's absolutely necessary for women. They absolutely have to delay their gratification. But men who can wait, what that communicates to a woman is that he's a man with other options. He's got other game going on. It's like one of the most critical indicators of his overall sexual success that he doesn't have to communicate. In other words, he's not needy. And her mind wonders, why? Why is he so, how can he wait? Why isn't he like all the other guys that's constantly trying to dig his hands into my pants? I don't get it. And this delayed gratification trait is not only going to give you success with women, but success in every area of your life, because you won't need to go for the quick and easy up front. This is what I did early in my life when I was investing. I actually had stock in the company Cisco, who you probably have heard of. And I remember the second I was calculating it daily. The second it went up in value like 15%, I sold it. That stock probably doubled and quadrupled several times over. I would have had a ton of money if I had just stayed in it for the long haul, if I'd had a little bit more control, a little bit more time horizon, that's what they call it, is the ability to have that view of the time horizon on something. Let it go for time. So that need for speed and hurrying yourself to sex is going to kill your game too. Ultimately, the most attractive thing is that you have to know more about a woman in terms of her emotional, the way she's built emotionally, the way she works emotionally, than she does. Or at least as much, right? Because she's always going to be the unique author of her own experience. But you do need to be very familiar with how women work and be able to demonstrate the confidence and reassurance of your certainty. Okay, I know women so well that when a woman behaves a certain way and I know where it's coming from, and even if she can't see it, I can still behave in accordance with the rules that I know are going on, even if it's an unpopular decision with her. That's critical. You're going to have to make decisions that on the surface, in the short term, are going to look unpopular to women. But long term, they will breed unbelievable commitment and dedication and devotion to you by virtue of the fact that she's going to go, wow, he saw what was going on and I didn't even see it. That's going to be incredibly attractive to a woman. I can tell you right now with Jen, my girl right now, she and I have that kind of relationship because I'm able to say, look, I know you're kind of pissed right now. I know you're crying. It has nothing to do with me. I'm going to be compassionate, but at the same time, I'm going to be very firm in telling you that this is what we need to do. And I know you're not going to like it right now, but I know it's the right thing to do. That's what manhood and masculinity are all about. Remember, confidence equals certainty. How certain you are is going to translate into how confident she thinks you are. There's a little inner game kind of stuff, but very, very brilliantly relevant to what we're talking about in terms of sexual confidence, because this is the background, this is the foundation of what comes next when we start talking about psychology, the roadmap, the communication, and the actual performance of sex. Sexual tension. What is sexual tension? Well, sexual tension is created by dominance, what I call dominance and submissiveness, okay? And it's, again, sexual tension can be between men and between women. Sexual tension is not unique to those you're sexually attracted to. It's also something that can happen between members of the same sex. There can be sexual tension. For women, it could be competition for the same guy. For men, it could be competition for the same woman. But there's also sexual tension in there. And sexual tension is created by the dominant and submissiveness between those people. Okay, one trying to be dominant over the other, or more submissive, or both sometimes. The politics of power are always in play. Keep this in mind. Don't be a dreamy nice guy that believes that you can just think this stuff away, that you can change reality just by thinking it a certain way and trying to believe it a certain way. I highly encourage you to read the book The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. I read this book regularly. I listen to it in an audiobook over and over and over again, so I remind myself of how these rules work. It's actually become, in a lot of ways, a Bible, if you will, of my life that I want to use. Now, some of them can seem very harsh and very... the term is Machiavellian, where it seems like it's too much for manipulation and for your own self-gain. But I think you can add in quite a bit of social responsibility in there, too, and not be just, you know, one of those greedy guys out to get everything in terms of power. But this is the way power works. It's the human nature that we're looking at here. So really, I really encourage you to do that, because again, you don't want reality biting you on the ass. Take the focus off the goal of sex. Sex is not the goal, okay? We know this now. I've talked about that. Sex is not the real goal. Ratcheting up the sexual tension between you and the woman is the goal, because that automatically gives you the sex. Okay, so if you don't shoot for the end goal and you shoot for the actual dynamic between you and the woman, you'll get what you want. The big mistake guys do is they go for the sex, not realizing that that's not the goal. Their goal is to set up the environment where sex is a natural result. It's like setting up dominoes so that you topple the first one and they all fall. Your focus is on setting up the dominoes correctly, not whatever's at the end, you know, the big finale, okay? It's being able to set it up so that when you hit that first one, it happens automatically, because that's the way it happens with women. Here's an example. Goal you might have of raising your heart rate. You want to get some athletic activity going. You want to make your heart beat faster because it's better for you, okay? It's aerobic activity. If you just focus on the activity of running and or jogging or, you know, being on a treadmill or a stair machine or whatever it is, if you just focus on doing that activity, the heart rate will go up all on its own. So again, focus on sexual dynamics and tension, and sex is inevitable. You can't stop it. It's what a good friend of mine has called inevitability thinking. You set things up so they're inevitable and they have to happen. If you set them up that way, you never need to focus on the goal. The goal will just happen. That's the way you set up your life to work. Again, a success factor that many people realize. If you want to be rich, you don't focus on the acquisition of money. You focus on setting up the mechanisms that will give you income, that give you the money. So beware of resolving tension incorrectly. This is one of those things you got to watch out for. What's the poison to your game with women? It's resolving tension, sexual tension, incorrectly. The biggest mistake of most men when they feel the pressure of the moment, when they start feeling pressure, sexual pressure, is they let the air out. They're like, oh, I was just joking, or I was just kidding. I didn't make you mad, did I? Oh, I'm sorry. You know, they do all these little weasel words to try and get themselves out of it, but they don't let it just sit there. Like, you know, you have to learn how to let a woman genuinely be pissed with you. You have to let her actually sometimes be a little angry with you to really learn how to ratchet up the sexual tension. And again, if you're going to be one of those guys, it's going to be approval seeking and acceptance seeking, you're going to sabotage yourself because you're going to try and resolve that tension, and it's going to kill the sexual tension. So take the focus off the goal of being sex. Focus on skirting the topic. Okay? Focus on skirting the topic of sex, because this is what we're talking about here. It's all about sex, right? Sex, sex, sex. Focus on not even going into the realm of sex, being a little bit demure about it, kind of like, I don't need to talk about that, because 95% of guys, when the topic of sex is brought up, they go into that topic as fast as possible because they think that talking about it is going to get them sex. This logic eludes me, but this is what they think. Let the woman be the one to be suggestive or dirty-minded. Let her be the one to bring it up. Let her be the dirty girl. This works like a champ. I can't even begin to tell you how good this is as a technique as well as a strategy. Avoid sexual discussions. Just allow them to sneak in inadvertently. I'll give you an example of how I do this. This is a tactic, but you can kind of store this away. I call it the do you example. I learned this from a friend of mine. One of the things he used to do is I teach martial arts, so one of the things that I have to do sometimes is juggle how the lessons are, who has a lesson when. And sometimes it'll be a couple of women, because women gravitate to what I have to give them as far as teaching them in the martial arts. It's very interesting to see this happen, by the way. And what I have to do is I have to tell them, okay, if there's a schedule conflict, we did this before, I'll be talking to both women, they'll be standing in front of me, I have to figure out who to give a lesson to. I'll say, you know what? I could do you right now, and then I could do you after, or let's see, it's 3:30 right now. I could do you both together, and we could teach you that way. Now, you see what I did there, right? It's kind of a dirty reference. I could do you, like it was a sequential sex scenario, and then it became a threesome, and do you. And the girls inside, sometimes they smirk. Sometimes you can tell by their eyes. They're kind of like, did he just say what I thought he said? But then they can tell by the way I'm carrying myself that I don't mean it that way. At least I don't think so. But it's a great way to sneak in that topic and then see what happens. See what happens to their attitude. Don't be direct with your sexual references like that. I know there's a lot of mixed advice about this one, but be careful about that one. Beware of deltas. Deltas are changes that you notice. Deltas are changes in anything. Changes in the sexual vibe. Changes in her attention to you. Things like that. Women notice the change in your attitude when you get weird. When things get weird, or things get cold, or things get strange. That's why you have to be very, very careful with your attitude. Suddenly the sexual charge in a conversation or in an interaction with a woman, when it starts to get sexual, it makes you start to act differently. You change the way you behave, and this becomes an indicator to a woman. Nervousness starts to creep in. Okay, you're starting to get nervous. Ooh, it's starting to get sexy. We're talking about sex. That could lead to me having sex with her. Ooh. That's what's going on under the surface. It's bubbling under there like boiling water. Don't treat sex as being abnormal or weird or odd. When it feels less than normal, that's when a woman's going to get weirded out. But when the topic of sex comes up and you're very, not blasé, but just kind of like, yeah, sex, as opposed to, yeah, sex, okay? Those are two distinctly different attitudes that guys carry. Settle down, Beavis. You know, you got to really keep yourself calm, cool, and collected. When you start acting weird, when sexuality or sexual charge enters the conversation, and you're not able to handle it naturally or be warm and go with it, it's weird. But otherwise, you treat it as if it's no big deal. Another one of your mantras, no big deal. Nothing with women is a big deal. Whether they reject you, no big deal. Or they boink you, no big deal. It's just another interaction. All right, so the real goal here, talked about bewaring of deltas. What's the real goal? The real goal is any other peripheral sign of submission. In other words, sex's next door neighbor is getting a woman to submit to you in some way, getting her to give in or to demonstrate some level of submissiveness. This is the real goal. Any kind of peripheral sign that we can get from her that she's submitting to us. I call it sex's next door neighbor. Get her to admit a very charged truth about herself. This is one of the things that I do specifically to get sexual charge going, is I'll get her to admit something very charged about her and her history. Like I'll ask her a question about, what's the sneakiest thing you ever did as a kid that your parents never found out about? Really good stuff there. Or what's the worst thing you did in high school that nobody ever knew about you? that would have changed like how they thought about you. Get this kind of information from women. It's powerful. Get her to admit either a charged truth or get her to physically submit in some way. Physical submission is an awesome way. One of my favorite dates used to be taking women on rock climbing. Because when you're rock climbing, one person's in complete power of the other person. If I'm on belay, which is the person holding the rope, and the other person's doing the climbing, her, she's in my hands. She has to totally submit to me. Think about that for a second, how powerful that is in terms of attraction. Devastating. All right, so either get her to psychologically submit in some way or physically submit, but you have to work on submission. And this is not bad submission. This is not pinning her to the mat, although that can be a good way to do it too. You want to get the signs of submission from her because that's going to show you whether or not she's interested. When she starts to submit, that's sexual interest in a lot of ways. Now, after you get the hang of this, sex will cease to be a challenge for you. Sex will not be the challenge. If you feel like sex is a challenge to get right now, it will not be. You're going to find actually that there are other more interesting challenges that lie inside this whole big cloud of attraction and sexuality with women. Most are to get her to work for you. These challenges are just simply to get her to start working to help you while you do the same for her. Okay, this is a two-way street. I'm not proposing here that you're making women into your love slaves, but women naturally have an inclination to want to please their men because they know that that's a signal of, that's a way to get their bond and connection started. So let her do that. Give her the pleasure of achieving her goal. Now, again, not as a dominating power play, but it's a way to deepen your skills. Find new ways to get women to help you, to work for you, to help you achieve things in life, and you can give that back to them, okay? You'll find it's just a natural flow, but because right now, I'm guessing that you probably feel a little starved. You probably feel a little hungry, and that starvation and hunger does not allow you to give as much as you could be giving to women. And that's the tricky part of this, is flipping that over so that you're able to give more to women so that they're willing to give back to you. That's the real goal, my friends. A lot of guys don't realize that. They see sex as the goal, and they don't realize that that little submissive switch is the actual switch to be turned. Come on back. We're going to finish up this section with sexual power, how to handle mistakes, and some exercises. All right, we're back, and we're going to be finishing up sexual confidence and getting into sexual psychology next. Let's finish it up here. We're going to be talking about sexual power, true essence of alpha sexual power and what it is, and in terms of men versus women. Okay, there's again the concept of what we perceive to be the power dynamic between men and women. So women we think of as controlling the sex, and men hope for sex, right? We're the ones wishing for it. The women are the ones controlling it. Women deny the sex. Men trick for the sex. Now, this is a power dynamic that we have seen for, you know, hundreds of millennia. The reality here is that this dynamic is only this way for men and women who don't understand how it really works, what the true sexual power is about and how it works. Because there's always a dynamic, right? One person controls something that the other one wants, and there is a power play between it. But knowing how to leverage that power and be comfortable with it, even if you're not always in control, because the truth is, yes, women do control the sex. The truth is that, yes, men do hope for the sex. The truth is that women very often do deny the sex to men as a method of controlling it, not because they want to just have the power or control, but because that's the nature of things. They have to be in order to assure that they're finding a guy that's not going to just get them impregnated and run off to some other chick. It's a big decision because you're in charge of basically a kid for many, many years. Now, the men tricking for the sex is something that we joke about, and it becomes part of our culture and part of how boys are brought up to believe, but it's totally incorrect. Men do not need to trick for the sex, and that's what this program is about, is that you never need to do that again, nor shall you. Evolution, right? Men can procreate with very little impact, whereas women have a 9-month little bio project in their belly if he should happen to get her pregnant. Okay, and this comes from back before we had prophylactics, condoms, and the like. And think about this, you know, you may have the 9-month bio project, but you also have a lifetime of support and care after that baby arrives that she has to have. Who's going to take care of that baby? How is she going to survive? important things to consider when you think about where a woman's mindset comes from. So really put yourself in a woman's mind for a little bit, and you're going to see that there's a big difference in how we think about this. Who has the bigger sexual investment? The sexual brakes. Who has control over the brakes? Remember that attraction is very often counterbalanced by fear in a woman, right? We talked about this a little bit. She wants it, but there's a risk that comes with having it. A woman wants sex, but at the same time, it's risky to actually get sex. Think about what that does to your head. She's got the risk of pregnancy, violence, possible violence from her partner, emotional abuse, emotional abandonment, and inevitably, the most likely of them all, the heartbreak that comes from when it doesn't work out. There's a lot of risk that women have to experience with sex with a man. So she has to see a clear-cut benefit and that all of these risks are taken out of the picture. Okay? Very important. It's sometimes called risk reversal in sales when you tell them that, look, you're not risking anything here. You got 100% guarantee, just like you guys got with this program. And it helps you feel easy about making the decision. That's what you have to do, is give her a risk reversal, a removal of risk on the situation. Remember, the more alpha you are, the more attraction there will be, but the more potential risk at the same time. So the cycle is even wider between the extremes. Okay, really important to understand, because if you're more of an alpha man, if you're more masculine, if you give her more of that intensity of masculinity that she's looking for, it's also going to intensify some of these risks that she may be looking at, because alpha men tend to get women pregnant more easily and more likely because of their sexual attitudes. The potential for violence, given a certain man's level of testosterone and aggression, whether he's got it under control or not. The ability to have emotional abuse, to abandon her emotionally. He could still be with her, but he could also, you know, not be attached emotionally. And the heartbreak that comes with it. So again, there's more potential risk here in a lot of ways. So the cycle is even wider when you get to the extreme of a man who is really being more alpha. Now, of course, the alpha man that I talk about is a much more sophisticated version and doesn't do those things, but we got to make sure we have that clearly understood. The sexual brakes are put on when a woman exerts her sexual decision veto power. When she says, nope, no sex, psh, no sex for you. That's her prerogative, and she always has it. Why? Why are the brakes put on? Number one, because she can. She has to know that she can, and that's how she learns whether or not she has the level of control. She wants to know that she doesn't have to worry about this one. Violence or possible emotional abuse or any kind of abuse from a man who won't get what he wants. When she knows that, when she senses that you're a good guy, then you're going to pass it, because this is also a test. Will you respect her decision to not have sex? To go against what she says? Will you force it on her, or will you respect her in that respect? Does she feel safe? Does she feel physically safe and emotionally safe? Is this what she really thinks it is? Big question for a woman. You know, when she has that question she asks about, I just need to know where this is going. What she really wants to do is have a confirmation that it's going the way she wants it to go, the way she thinks it's going. So when she gets that, is this really what she thinks it is in terms of connection and your quality of being a man? You pass the test. And again, she needs a little time and needs the comfort to feel that little space for maybe even just a few minutes when you're hot and heavy with her, just to feel the comfort of not having pressure put on her from outside. That's all she needs to feel in order to let you pass the test. Most women, when they put the sexual brakes on you, will still give it up to you that day, that night, whatever. But she's waiting. She wants to see that you're capable of having good restraint, handling it maturely and emotionally, and not acting like a pissed off little boy. Never behave negatively or petulantly. Never behave like that bratty little boy. Aw, come on. I got a hard dick here. Come on. We gotta have sex. A woman can disconnect herself from sex immediately. A man cannot, because it's much more of a biological and physical imperative for him. He doesn't have that kind of control psychologically. So you've got to exert it. You've got to be the one who can be the non-bratty little boy who just didn't get his way and be like, that's cool, you know, even though inside you're like, oh god damn it, I can't believe she did that. Remember, this is your prerogative and your control. Have your response calculated in advance. Most guys fail and flunk this test because they're not ready for it when it comes. They're all geared up and they want it to go all the way to the goal, and when the first obstacle is thrown in their way, they're like, thing. And they don't have something planned in advance. You've got to have something calculated and planned. For me, it's cool. That's cool. That's no problem. And I'll just say it just like that. No matter what I'm thinking or feeling on the inside, it might come out a little bit like, that's cool. That's no problem. But I'm still coming across with the same thing, that I'm going to be respectful of her space, give her the distance she needs, and then I can go right back in a few minutes later and try again, because that's all she's looking for. I call it the sawtooth pattern, that you put the brakes on first. You be the one to stop things and slow it down. This totally freaks out a woman's circuits in her head. You achieve sexual power when you're capable of doing this effectively, because I've done it for years and years and years, and it works like a champ. I'm the one that says, whoa, whew, this is getting hot. I don't know if we should be, keep going. And I was that way with Jen. I was that way with just about every woman since I learned how this works. And it's an incredibly powerful sexual attraction factor, that you have the ability to go, whoa, hey, this is getting kind of hot and heavy. Let's take a break for a second here. And she'd be like, what? Some women, the really low self-esteem ones, will interpret it that something's wrong with them, and you have to be careful about that. So this is also a good test for you, kind of weed out the weirdo chicks. But they're going to be like, what? And she's going to be trying to get what? She's going to try to get you back in again. She wants to know that she hasn't lost the connection. Again, we're not doing this to manipulate. We're doing it to, first of all, exercise our self-control, because we know it's coming. A woman will put on those brakes eventually, and you have to be willing to be the one to do it first. The sawtooth pattern is simply this. Tension, 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 tension. Whew, it's getting too hot and heavy. Tension, 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 tension. Whew, need to take a break. Tension, tension, tension. You see what I'm doing here? I'm building up the tension. I'm letting out a little bit of the energy, not like totally with an insecure gesture or anything like that. I'm just purposely letting it off for a second, going, oh man, you are too hot. And of course, you attribute this to a lack of, if we keep going, man, I can't, you're just too much. You are too sexy, woman. You're too much woman for me. And then you pick it back up. Tension, 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 and you let it back out again. And if you always attribute your putting on the brakes to, wow, I am just like blown away of how overpowering you are sexually, and how what a woman you are. You're confirming her sexuality at the same time. You're also exercising self-control. At the same time, you're also showing her that self-control and giving her a respectful distance and developing more response potential. Response potential is what we're trying to create here. We're not shooting for sex. We're trying to create this tension pattern that creates the push-pull, that creates the attraction, the sexual desire. You see how this works? It's a very simple formula, but very few men will know how to be able to control themselves sexually enough to do it. The reality is that men have sexual power. All right? I forgot this one last one here. No big deal, right? We talked about this earlier. Remember, whenever the sexual brakes get put on, it's no big deal. It's never a big deal that you're not getting it. Because if you make it a big deal, you guarantee you will not get it. Trust me on that one. So men do have sexual power. Learn how to show her self-control and selectivity. When you have that, you completely communicate yourself as being the top 5% of all men alive. Because that's who, she's going to sense that. Very few men have self-control, and very few men have the ability to say, no. I'm coming from that place because I can tell you, I literally was in bed with a hot, every guy I've known has qualified her as being a 10, hot, skinny, little blonde that had wanted me for years. I'm finally in bed with her, and you know what I decided? Knowing her sexual history, I know she had slept with hundreds of guys. I'm thinking to myself, do I really want to sleep with this? I mean, I just couldn't see myself doing it. I don't care how hot she was. And I literally refused to sleep with her. And that, I'll tell you, there's part of me that's like, damn, dude, why didn't you just do it? But at the same time, I think it was the right decision. If only for the sexual risk that she carried to me of a sexually transmitted disease. So have that power, man. Have that self-control. It's real. And learn how to imply with your actions and words that you have sexual choice, that you have selectivity, that there are other possibilities out there other than this girl. Because when you communicate that she's the only possibility, she becomes no possibility. Respect. Never let a woman disrespect you as you work towards your goal, or I shouldn't say goal because it's not really a goal of getting sex, right? But eventually that's where we want to get to. Never let a woman disrespect you in order for you to get that. Never lower yourself. Never degrade yourself. Never be pussy whipped for it. And don't be a jerk about it either. Okay? Don't be a jerk about how a woman treats you. Make small demands in order to dominate. We talked about the dominance submission dynamic. Here are some actual things that I say to women that establish a little bit of the I've got the power, I've got the control. When a woman asks me to do something, like I'm at a bar, I'll say please or you can't have it. A little bit of that snotty tone. Or, what's in it for me? Or, okay, I'll consider it if you do this for me. So there becomes a little bit of a playful, you do this for me, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Or I'll just say outright, okay, but first you mop my floors. No, first you scratch my back right here, because literally I cannot reach it. It's right in the middle of my back. There. No, not there. Okay, lower, not higher. Come on, you can get this. And I'm playing with her, I'm teasing her for her inability to scratch my back. You see how this power, this play of dynamics of sexual tension gets started? It's a lot of fun, by the way. The back scratch routine is a lot of fun. Another way, and I'm going to go off on a tangent here because it's fun, is you pretend your back is a map of the United States. And you tell her that. You say, okay, pretend my back is the map of the United States. I really need you to scratch Missouri. And she's going to start scratching. And you're going to look at her and go, where have you ever studied a map of the United States? You're hitting Massachusetts. Come on, get Missouri, Midwest. Come on, get in there. And you can totally give her a hard time because she's going to interpret it, and you can totally flip the way it looks. Like up here is New York and over here is Florida, or you can flip it to the bottom of your back. Very fun little routine to play with a woman, by the way. But you see how this works? I'm taking the power position. I'm taking it for myself. And I'm doing it in a playful and fun way. I'm not doing it in a demanding Nazi kind of way. I'm doing it in the comedian way. Respect is very important. Another thing I call flood the system. And we're going to talk about this in the exercises. But basically what it is, it's a process to remove most of the intimidation that you have about women and their sexual power. You've got to be able to flood your system in a way that kind of clears out a lot of this illusion you have about women. We'll talk about that coming up in the exercises. Channeling your sexual energy is really, really important too. Build up some self-discipline around sex. There's one exercise called the controlled masturbation exercise, which is, first of all, set a schedule for it that you can't masturbate every single day of the week just because you feel like it. You got to have control over it. Another great exercise, and this is also for you guys that are going to go on and listen to definitely the sexual performance part, is one of the things you can do is to learn how to masturbate but not finish, and then stop, and then go do something else, and return to it again later. It's a very different experience sexually. It's going to change your sexual experience in a lot of ways, because so many men are used to just whip it out, take care of it, go on with the rest of your day, or have a nap, right? This is a different way of doing it. But control and establishing your self-control over your sexuality is what it's about. Limit your expenditure. You cannot continue to give up your sexual energy every time you want to, because you're stealing energy from yourself. A man's sexual energy is his creative energy. It's in you all the time. I talk about this in other programs, so I'm not going to go into detail here, but your sexual energy is very, very important in how you control it. Now, of course, you need release. You need to take care of things when your reason or your judgment is starting to get clouded because it's been so long since you had any, okay? Because some things can get a little weird there, right? You can get a little bit freaky. Or if you feel like your discipline is starting to wane, like if you haven't masturbated or you haven't had sex in a long time and you go out and you're going to, you know, be around women and you have a feeling that you're going to start changing your behavior to get some, that's when you might need to take care of business to make it easier on yourself. You control it. You channel your sexual energy. Okay, so that is sexual power in a nutshell, the dynamic between men and women. Let's talk about handling mistakes and finish this thing up with the exercises. First of all, handling mistakes, never let a mistake that you make with a woman, sexual or otherwise, flush your confidence. You can never let it do that. You never let a mistake be that flush handle where you just hear it going. It's not the mistake, because they will happen. Mistakes happen, you can't control it. It's how you handle the mistake that is the most critical thing in a woman's eye. The fact that you made the mistake is not the important thing. Everybody makes mistakes. She's going to make mistakes. I've had girls do everything from fart in bed with me to, you know, just really funny stuff, okay? I'm not going to go into too many intimate details here. But those mistakes are not important. It's how you handle and manage that mistake. Be cool. Joke about it. You know, like, let's say you come too fast with a woman, right? Whew, I guess I was a lot more excited than I thought. Ooh, honey, sorry about that. We're going to have to work on that one, huh? Being able to joke about it and be kind of have a little bit of humor around it isn't going to be much better than, "Ooh, wow, okay, sorry about that. I'm so sorry. That was so terrible of me. I can't believe I did that. Oh, my God." Okay. Two completely different ways of handling it, right? Which one do you think works better? To handle it with a little bit of aplomb, a little bit of humor. And in the event that it does happen, what do? You handle it. So, okay, so I was a little quick there. What can I do for you? Now I'm all yours. I'm all yours, baby. What do you need me to do? And then you can go to work to please her. If you're the kind of guy that won't do this, don't know if I should be instructing you. That's how you handle mistakes and situations. Don't try to pretend that it didn't happen. That won't work. We know it didn't happen, and it's going to sit in the back of her head. She's going to be thinking, "Wow, I know that happened, and yet he tried to make me believe it didn't happen." The more awkward the goof is, the more you have to handle it, okay? The more awkward and weird it is, the more you have to handle it. And this goes not only for sex, but for interactions with women. If you make a mistake of some kind, you say something a little bit off the wall, like I'm not kidding, I actually said this in a conversation with somebody. they said that I had, what did they say? They said something to the effect of I had kind of lost the bitter edge and I was a lot sweeter. I still had they were talking about my martial arts teaching style. They said, "You're still, you know, a sweet guy, but now you have you still have this shell of firmness about you. But you're still sweet on the inside." And I'm like an M&M, right? Only it's been licked a few times. And I just thought, licked a few times. And I looked at him, it was a guy I was talking to, and I said, "Dude, that sounded a lot better in my head." And it was like a perfect way to handle a really awkward and stupid goof. Because if I had said nothing, they would have been going like, "Yeah, M&M's have been licked a little bit. That's freaky. I don't want you teaching my kids." All right, so exercises. Here are some things you can do to start working on your sexual confidence. First of all, identify sexual messages. Not massages, messages. I want you to actively find the sexual messages in the media and communication that you have. Go out and get a couple of magazines, get a couple of newspapers if you don't already have them. Watch a little bit of TV, And I want you to make a note, maybe make a tally of every time you see a sexual message or sexual innuendo or sexual anything, and really start to look at what is going on there. Take a deeper look at what's being communicated through sex, through jokes, through sometimes derision, sometimes through guilt. Sometimes very negative emotions and things they do on TV. Another thing to do is to also locate and find the distortions of sex. How do movies show sex versus what your experience of sex has been? I'll give you an example of that. In movies, is sex faster and easier or harder and slower? In most movies, they show people going to bed like that. And, you know, I've always been kind of like, what? It's possible, but it doesn't happen nearly as much as they show in the movies. And the second thing is, everybody that suddenly sleeps together is now in love. That's not true at all. Love takes months, sometimes up, you know, even a year or more to build really with a person. Okay, at least months before it's love. So understand that in movies they distort things very, very much, especially sex. Notice the whistles. What are the whistles? Whistles are where the play is failing and the ref catches it. Okay? Like a whistle in football. And they're like, In other words, notice when you're falling into approval-seeking behavior. There needs to be a little referee behind you going, and saying, "Dude, approval-seeking behavior, 10-yard penalty." When you feel yourself backpedaling in your behaviors or your habits. Another whistle is when you start to feel your sexual confidence shaking. And you're tempted to act from that place of being sexually shaky. That's a bad place to be, and a ref's going to have to blow a whistle on that play. When you let your emotions push you into acting rashly around women or otherwise, like talking about your feelings or admitting feelings that are too soon and will freak her out. Okay, so when your emotions are starting to manipulate your behavior, that's a whistle. Blow it on the play. When she pulls back and you panic. This happens a lot. This is what I call the male panic syndrome. This is where a woman is all interested and suddenly she pulls back a little bit. Who knows why? Might not even be for anything you said or did. But then you panic because you're losing her. It's like a fish that's slipping off the line. And what do you do with that fish? Suddenly you start reeling in even faster. And, of course, you scare her and she comes off the line completely then. Blow a whistle on that play. When you start managing a woman's emotional reactions, this is what I was talking about with boundaries. You can't manage her emotional reactions. You can't control what a woman feels. You can only create the environment she needs to have. When you see attraction building in her, but you don't change your approach because of it. Okay? So, in other words, a lot of guys will see attraction starting in a woman, but they'll start to change their approach. They'll start to change how they behave because now they sense that there's attraction. And that change in behavior is a delta that she will sense. And again, it becomes an awkwardness and insecurity. You just keep going consistently. Nothing's any big deal. Oh, she just put her hand on my arm? Okay, great. No big deal. I'll joke with her about it. Oh, she wants the kiss? She looks like she wants the kiss? Maybe. No big deal. It's not the attitude that constantly adjusts and rearranges reality to accommodate her. Situational awareness is a whistle, because you have to have situational awareness of what's going on around you at all times. That's really what the essence of these whistles are. Okay, so be careful. But at the same time, don't get caught up in your head. I know I talk a lot about this, about being aware of your behaviors. When you see them, correct them and let them go. Because if you don't let them go, you're going to become paranoid in social situations and you will not be able to keep up any kind of sexual tension, any kind of sexual attraction, or any kind of sexual power with a woman. And I know it sounds like I'm contradicting myself there, but I'm really not. Most sexual power comes from letting go as opposed to enforcing more constraints. Next one is the one I talked about earlier, which is flooding the system. You need a process to remove most of the intimidation that you experience with women. You need to numb yourself, essentially, to beauty. So one of the things you can do is something I call the next step up, which is to numb yourself to porn. You have to be careful here. You don't want to have any bad habits started because you're starting to look at porn. Or if porn's not your thing, no big deal. You can do it other ways. You can buy magazines or pictures of women as models, okay, and just look at them over and over and over again. And what you're trying to do is just get so used to having beauty around you that it's kind of like, hot chick, yeah, right, nice. You know, Playboy, you look at it, you see the cover, eh, whatever, she's okay, a little skinny, and you know they're airbrushed. You have this kind of jaded sense of, been there, done that, about every kind of woman. And then new women, even though they're attractive, will never have that, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, that they had before. It's a really important exercise, and I did that one for a long time to kind of get that the conditioning I had to being really, really in awe of beauty. Beauty is not really that awesome. It's very common, and when you know how much work women go through to create it, you're going to be very disillusioned. So keep that in mind too. Most of the women you think are beautiful, not that beautiful. Controlled masturbation was the exercise I was talking about earlier. This is where you masturbate just short of ejaculating. You stop, and then you just go off and do something else right away. And then you start, and before you come, you stop, and you go off and do something else again. Okay? You repeat this as often as you can. And this is not only a great exercise in self-control, but it's also needed for certain sexual skills that I'm going to be teaching you about in the sexual performance section. Extended male orgasm, which is EMO, and also helping you overcome premature ejaculation. These are two areas that you cannot do this enough in. All right, but you gotta have the self-control. If you freak out, don't come down on yourself. I mean, if you actually do end up like going too far and ooh, that's okay. But go back and do it again and correct the mistake. Really important exercise, and I'm going to talk about this one again when we get into sexual performance. It's one of the critical masculine skills of sexual control you have to develop. The other one is Kegels. Kegels I'm going to talk about in sexual performance as well. It's a rhythmic clenching and unclenching of the muscle that controls a lot of that down there. It will intensify your orgasms as well as help you control your orgasms and give you a lot more sexual pleasure. It'll give you much more intense pleasure from sex. And we're going to talk about that coming up in the performance section. So there you go. A lot to do, a lot of little exercises you can attend to and you need to in this section on sexual confidence. Okay, coming up, we've got sexual psychology, another big topic. Don't be too unintimidated by this image here. There might seem to be less areas to cover, but these are huge areas. Each one of these is going to be a lot of stuff, especially when we get down to the female typology and figuring out which women are, to be able to figure out what a woman is, what kind of a woman she is, and you knowing how to vary your approach based on what kind of woman. So you'll be able to figure her out in no time at all. Lots of stuff in here. Oh, and the sexual keystones, the critical areas you need to look for. Big section coming up. I'll be talking again soon. Go on to sexual psychology next. Summary of sexual confidence, authority. Okay, in this section, sexual confidence, we went into quite a bit of detail, quite a bit of understanding of the inner game and the biological programming and the intellectual programming that we get. There was a reality check I had to throw in there that knowing the psychology and these advanced techniques puts you in a possible position of manipulation. You can actually get people to do things that are not in their best interests, and I do not want you to do that. I want you to understand that you can be sexually confident forever. I'm going to show you how a woman's sexual mind works. We're going to lay out the exact path, show you how to communicate in a sexual way, and give you an arsenal of techniques to perform. The biological programming about women's sexual prime and men's sexual prime, you should understand that and know that by now. We experience our sexuality differently, and that's what drives a lot of a woman's needs and a lot of women's behaviors. Sexual status is a very important facet of the whole alpha sexual power because status itself is a big predictor of success in life. Low social status is a predictor of higher stress, less social and sexual success, and shorter lifespans. There are a lot of dark or negative traits that are sexually thrilling to women that you should know about, and of course, the equation of power equating with success with women. It's a very important fact that men really need to be able to understand that you can't get by on just being a nice guy, okay? And there's different ways that I gave you of using personas, of using those different aspects to communicate sexual status and get a little bit further into a woman's understand sexual response mechanism. Emotion versus logic. Well, just like attraction not being a choice, sexual desire is not a choice. We have deep reactions that we have, and these are some of the ones that I gave you regarding how men instinctively react around women, how women experience the same thing but are based on different criteria, and how your intelligence works against your sexual attractiveness. There's a sexual endgame trap that I warned you about, that you're going to fear getting to that place where you become uncertain, and then you'll self-sabotage yourself to avoid facing it. It's the fear of success. In other words, you fear the unknown at the end, and that ruins your confidence all the way back to the very start, which is why a lot of guys have problems approaching women. They have problems approaching women because they don't feel confident in the bedroom. Sexual insecurity was something we talked about as well. Nervousness around sexual energy and how that kind of insecurity is very obvious to women. You've got to have sexual confidence. And I told you why men don't have it. We went through the clear picture that you must have in your head. You must have a clear sense of deservedness and capability. You must have a clear sense of deservedness and capability in order to be successful with women. So stop pretending that you don't want sex from women. And of course, understanding that women want sex just as much as men, and sexual desire is not unnatural no matter how you were programmed as a kid, you can let go of that. Women, I explained what her insecurities are. I went into a little bit of what the halo effect is, as well as a way for you to study the way that women think about sex by studying erotica and things like that. And don't fight against a woman's sexual reality. Again, reality will bite you on the ass, right? Masculinity. We covered masculinity, and the reasons that a program like this is needed today is because so many men are confused about their masculinity. We talked about what men's insecurities are, and bewaring the myth of what her type is, and how women will basically throw types right out the window when they find a man that is inherently masculine and sexually attractive to her. We talked about alpha risk, as well as true sexual confidence and where it comes from with women, which is really knowing how to really give a woman sexual pleasure. And that's what you're learning in this program. And how it's destroyed, your sexual confidence is basically destroyed by manipulative tactics, magical or hypnotic techniques that are sold to you, and all these things that are basically the need for speed. And delayed gratification, the ability to have that, is one of your critical success factors. Sexual tension and the role that it plays and how it works in creating sexual attraction with women has been outlined here, as well as sexual power, men versus women, the whole evolutionary psychology, the evolutionary chain of events, the sexual breaks and how those are used, as well as men's sexual power. Also, how to handle mistakes in your life and mistakes in your sexual exploits. I give you a bunch of exercises that you do need to go through and do, of course. The identification of sexual messages, finding the distortions of sex, noticing the whistles that I talked about, flooding the system, controlled masturbation, the whole Kegels thing. All of those exercises are important for you building on your learning. So go on now into the sexual psychology section of the program.